much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm feeling it. Let's go right away. It's magic time. From the top, everybody.
There's no one else here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend.
God's design is one sexual partner for life. Now, in the homosexual community, the average homosexual has hundreds of sexual partners over the course of a lifetime. Hundreds. Some of them have between 500 and 1,000, and there are any number of homosexuals, and they admit this in their own literature, have more than 1,000 sexual partners.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into your man cave.
You know, I enjoy young people.
Is this the package we want?
Shut up, Ryan Seacrest.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, cat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
Roll another one.
I've never known such blackness.
Just like the other one.
Hungry like the vagina.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, you have a boy who plays the theater, huh?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
So much beef.
That's true.
Roll. Roll. Another one.
Well, one. No.
Just like.
Kevin, lay out the sauce, man.
This one seems to be about to.
Just picture it as like a dude's dong.
I don't have another cent.
Is there nothing sacred? Have we lost our moral center? Just makes me want to pee on a song.
Whoa, only in America. Wow.
Just pass it around.
Well, nobody knew what it meant, but it was funny.
And now.
I've got guns, bullets, lots of bullets, lots of bullets.
Our feature presentation.
Lots of bullets.
Mm-hmm. I love her so much. I love Megan.
That's, what was the name of that show?
Doomsday Preppers.
Doomsday Preppers.
It's the best. Nat Geo.
They're convinced the world's going to end soon, and they are the only ones prepared.
I love them so much. Hey, party people, welcome on into another Kevin and Bean show. It is
Friday.
And I'm happy to say that Shayla Hershey is okay, 32 years old. We've had her on the show before. Do you know who she is, Kevin?
No, we've had her on before.
She is the woman with the Guinness Book of World Records, world's largest breasts.
Oh, yes.
She had 38 triple M breasts.
Right.
At one point.
Triple
but had
M.
some problems with some infection and had
how
to get
them
reduced.
How, I wonder? That seems healthy to me, that, that triple M.
She has had over 30 breast enlargement surgeries. Now she's in trouble. She's got issues.
You think? Could have identified that, but on the third one,
yeah,
second
perhaps.
One maybe.
The reason she's back in the news is she was in an automobile accident in Texas. She lives in the Houston area. She was coming back from a Super Bowl party on Sunday when she crashed into a tree. She was charged with drunk driving after the incident. She was not wearing her seatbelt, but obviously was wearing her airbags when her Ford Mustang hit a tree.
Well, I like boobs. Big boobs.
She says, I think my breasts saved my life. The accident was bad. My boobs are sore, but they protected the rest of me. Her car had spun around and hit a tree during the crash. She said she was not drunk driving, by the way, that she had been taking only prescription medication. She has bipolar disorder, depression, headaches, and backaches. And I can't figure out where the backaches would be coming from.
Backaches. That doesn't make sense with what you've told us.
But apparently in Texas, and I guess in other states too, it doesn't have to be alcohol to get you charged with drunk driving. It's impaired driving, basically, is what right. it is. And even if you're taking prescription medicine, they say, look, you're unfit to drive. You should not be driving.
Hey, there's a lot of prescription medicine that says right on it.
Yes.
Causes drowsiness.
Absolutely.
Do not drive.
Yeah. So anyway, so she is going to fight it. She's going to court. She's going to go to court next month. The state's going to prove that the medication caused the impairment. At least that's the plan.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
An infection set in after her 30th breast enlargement operation. She's only 5'3", by the way. She had to undergo an emergency operation in June of last year. It left her with unattractive sagging skin where her implants had been, but she was obsessed with maintaining her Guinness World Record. Not having my breasts was killing me. I didn't know if I could make it through 2012 without them. My breasts had become part of me, and I was deformed without them. It was a miracle. I never thought I would have my breasts back again. So she ignored the wishes of her doctors and her husband, who all feared another surgery, and she went ahead and got it done in Mexico.
Great.
Out of the back of a van.
She had 2,500 cc's of saline liquid implanted into her breast, by the way, and then had more saline gradually introduced down in Brazil. So now her breasts are back to 4,300 cc's and are 38 triple K. That's what she's walking around with today, a 38 triple K.
Yeah, but not
so
triple
many
M.
Questions.
Not triple M.
That's
what
weak.
Do you,
that's
what do you got?
It's a step up.
That's a serious rack.
First of all, married, but crazy.
Yeah.
Second of all, how is she affording all these surgeries?
Well, she
how
has spent
she afford
more than,
to go to Brazil? And
she has spent more than $100,000 in the last 10 years to maintain her breast. She wants to have another surgery this year to get back up to 38 triple M, which is where she feels most comfortable.
You know she wasn't wearing a seatbelt because she couldn't.
Probably, yeah. Yes, you're right.
She would be physically incapable.
It's like the fat people on the airplane who need the seatbelt extender in order to even put it on them. She would have to literally have a seatbelt extender to be able to wear one.
Did you say she was married?
Yes. It's got a 29-year-old husband.
Why has he not checked out? I mean, she must be in surgery or recovering from surgery or something
all
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's clearly crazy.
She definitely is crazy.
Listen, I forgot to tell you. Tomorrow I'm going to Brazil and getting my rack enlarged.
Her face looks like she may have also started the plastic surgery up there as well, by the way.
So I need to see her.
I'll send you the article.
Please
She's got troubles.
Oh,
send it to us.
Man.
Yeah. She definitely has troubles. But anyway, we have had her on the show before, and maybe time to update and give her a call again.
Oh,
and see what's
she's
up.
A You So Liar girl.
Yes.
That
you
girl?
Such big liar.
You such big liar.
That's right.
That is
she
her.
She is crazy.
Oh, that's such big liar.
That's her.
Okay. Now it all makes sense.
We have had her on the show, and she's as crazy as she sounds.
Yep. Oh, man.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, that's funny. If those teeth were in your vagina, you'd be considered a monster.
I think that's pretty accurate. We have some Grammy Roundtable interviews that Beer Mug
that's all I care about. That's the only thing that matters.
Beer Mug went and did yesterday all day, and then he's going back again today, where they pretty much they put a bunch of radio people at a bunch of tables, and then they just march guests around.
Mm-hmm.
And Beer Mug talked to a lot of people, and it turns out Beer Mug plays drums. I don't know if you're aware of that. You aware of that, Bean?
Did he bring that up to any of the people he interviewed?
Did you know that he's a drummer?
It really was about him, right? Not about the people he was interviewing.
He brought it up only to everyone.
I see.
What?
He brought it up. Oh, there's nobody that he left out of the fact that he's a drummer because he wanted them to know he is a drummer.
And what are his interviewees supposed to do with that information?
You'll have to ask him. I don't know. We do have some highlights of some of those interviews, and he's spectacular.
It's all I care about, honestly. I know we got a lot of other stuff on the program today, but if we could just listen to Beer Mug interviews all day, I'd be happy.
He sat down with Kool and the Gang.
Yes, he did.
Now, have you heard this, Bean? You listened to it?
That's the only one I've heard. Is it the best?
Now,
it's so awesome.
Kool and the Gang, let's be honest, hasn't been relevant in 20 years. But they have a catalog that still gets played to this day.
Yeah, they're one of those classic soul bands that everybody has heard their songs. Although, to Beer Mug's credit, I mean, they were most popular when he was either before he was born or when he was a little kid.
Right, but you've heard Celebration and you've heard...
Of course. I mean, Ladies' Night. Yeah, of course.
Anytime you go to a dance club or any... Not a big dance club, but
or
like,
watch television, for God's
sake. Anything,
I mean, Kool and the Gang songs are popular, right.
So Mug sat down with them and sang them a song that wasn't theirs. He said, this is the only song I know from you. And then he sang them a song that wasn't theirs.
So great.
So that was strong. We also have the movie beat today. We have from the Los Angeles Kings, Drew Doughty.
Mm-hmm.
Defense number 8. We have What Do Women Want for Valentine's Day? We have just enough time now. What is it, Friday? And then Tuesday is Valentine's Day.
How long have you been married?
It doesn't matter.
I can't believe you're even asking this question.
Look.
You're an idiot.
No. Well, that's very possible. Bean and I are coming from different places. I want to do it right.
Yes.
And I'm fearful.
Okay.
Because...
Because you never have?
Because you're supposed to know a lot of stuff, apparently, and none of us do.
Okay. Right.
I want to know it.
All right.
I would love it if I knew it, but I don't.
I applaud the effort.
Bean does not want to be told that he has to do anything Tuesday and will not.
Well, because every day is Valentine's Day at my house.
Right. Exactly.
So there's nothing special about February 14th. It couldn't be more romantic than I already am the other 365 days this year.
We're going to make fun of me in about a half hour. And my amazing skills with the English language.
Oh.
Lisa, you were gone yesterday when we had to go record some announcements.
Yes, I was.
It's Kevin as you've only ever heard him 10 million times before.
Is it Grammy Kevin?
Yeah, it is Grammy Kevin. Yes.
And we were talking about the Grammys. So
yeah.
That's good news.
If I were to tell you that it took him nine tries to say five words, would you be excited about hearing that tape?
I'm over the moon.
Ralph was laying on his back, kicking in the air.
Kicking his legs in the air.
Yes. It was not my best moment. Speaking of the Grammys, we also have tickets for the Grammys.
Ah, awesome.
How about that? We've got a game for you to play coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, as we have done each day this week. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right?
Right. You know? You feel me?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You down?
What are we talking about, Lisa? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Kate Upton.
Oh, yeah. This is the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday. Ralph Garman off for a few days. We are filling in this hour with the Showbiz Beat. By the way, our friend Anel Rivers comes in next hour. 1 hour from right now, it's going to be the Showbiz Bazeet, I guess is how he calls it. Let me start with this story. If you haven't heard this yet, I don't know when Khloe and Lamar comes back, the reality series with Khloe Kardashian and her husband Lamar Odom of the Dallas Mavericks. But apparently in the first episode, and tell me this doesn't smack of, hey, let's do something wacky for TV instead of for our real lives.
Sure.
Because there's nothing real about reality shows. Let's face that. In the first episode of this season, the happy couple purchases a sex swing in order to spice up their sex life.
Yeah, they do that on TV.
Ew.
And they've been married a year.
Lamar seemed disinterested at the time, and she said, you know, Khloe says on the show, well, you know, during the NBA lockout, I guess he was really depressed, and it affected us in a bunch of areas, including in the bedroom, and I'm going to try to entertain him and make him happy. So they hooked up the swing, and the fact that we're talking about Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, is the rope made of some kind of metal?
I think it goes without saying that there was no ceiling in America that could support the weight of Khloe Kardashian. Forget even putting Lamar on the swing, too. Just Khloe on the swing. And, of course, the minute they went to use it, it collapsed from the ceiling. Khloe says, thank you very much. Khloe says that it's okay. Their sex life has now gotten back on track without the swing. And after Lamar was traded to the Dallas Mavericks, he's gotten more established with his new team. And now he's happy again. And their sex life is phenomenal. So not to worry.
Look, you can be happy with your size. You really can. But it doesn't mean that you necessarily need a swing.
And I just, oh, right. I apologize. I don't know when this show airs, but the guy, they had to hire a guy to come out and install the swing,
course.
Right? It's not the type of thing. The guy, how could he, without appearing rude, express how likely it was that that was going to collapse the first time she got on it? I mean, the guy had to say, look, I've only got so much support I can work with in this ceiling.
But he can't say that to him.
He just
has to hand him a waiver and say, everyone signs it. Don't worry.
Exactly. So anyway, that one might be actually worth checking out, I think.
The FBI released their file on Steve Jobs yesterday. Who knew they had one?
Really?
A 191-page document.
Who released it?
The FBI.
The FBI!
George H. W. Bush's export council was going to nominate him to be a part of that, whatever that is. And so the FBI did a background check.
Oh,
the people, he was characterized by those who were interviewed by the FBI as someone who will, quote, twist the truth in order to achieve his goals. And by the way, I don't know why we need to do this. Why does anyone care what the FBI?
Why this has to be released?
Because he's dead?
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He'll twist the truth in order to achieve his goals. He's a deceptive individual and only has integrity, quote, if he gets his way. His moral character is questionable, one source told the FBI. While several individuals commented concerning past drug use, apparently he did lots of drugs.
Hey, I want to know what he was taking because it worked for him.
Yeah.
But then they said it wasn't all bad. They said he was a visionary, described his individuals as extremely intelligent individual, true leader, blah, blah, blah.
Look, I haven't read the Steve Jobs book. I guess everyone else in the world has. I know it's been a number one bestseller for months now. But apparently not a cool dude to hang out with.
No, a-hole.
Apparently an a-hole. Apparently threw big temper tantrums,
yep.
Would cry when he didn't get his way. And I don't even know that we ever talked about this, but apparently was a very infrequent shower, which would make me not want to hire him just on that alone.
Yeah, like once a week.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
He was so busy thinking and designing.
I think he just figured it smelled natural or something. I don't know. But showering once a week, you got problems.
Man.
I'm kind of with you. I think the less I know about his personal life, maybe the better. Here's a scary story, by the way. This guy named Robert Hoskins, you'll see his picture all over the news today. There's a massive Southern California manhunt looking for this guy. He escaped from a mental institution. He apparently is the guy who 10 years ago was caught and arrested jumping over Madonna's fence
when
she still lived in America, threatening to slit her throat. He went away to prison and a mental institution, and he also apparently has his sights set on Halle Berry. He's also threatening and has threatened for many times over to kill her as well. It's gotten kind of complicated for Halle because she is in the middle of a custody battle with a kid that she had with her ex-boyfriend, her baby daddy, Gabrielle Aubrey. So they're in court right now. She wants to move out of the country because this guy's on the loose. This guy has escaped. He says he's coming after her. She says, look, I want to take my kid and get out of here. So she's trying to move to France, which is where her current boyfriend lives. And he, Gabrielle Aubrey, the baby daddy, is going to court and saying, no, you cannot move away with our kid. We have joint custody of the kid. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. But she's like, but I'm in danger. I mean, this sounds like something out of a Hollywood movie, doesn't it?
Sort of does, yeah.
But they're very desperate looking for this guy. They say, please be on the lookout. He is armed and dangerous. He always travels with guns and knives. And the police are, this is my favorite part of the whole story, by the way. LAPD has been popping by Halle Berry's home often to make sure she's okay. I bet they have.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll do that. I got it.
I bet every 45 minutes a different officer knocks at the door going, hey, Halle Berry, just want to make sure
you're okay. You need to come in and sit down and watch TV with you for a while?
Anyway, fingers crossed. Very scary story. I hope they catch that dude.
You know how we always say celebrities seem to be able to get divorced reasonably well and they stay friends?
Yes.
And
sure. They're better than we are.
The rest of us can't do that. Well, as you know, we mentioned yesterday that Russell Brand is keeping his hands off of her money.
Mm-hmm.
She made $44 million while they were married.
We should mention Katy Perry's who we're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. Yeah, Katy Perry's who we're talking about. So she made $44 million. Russell Brand had access. I guess he could have legally taken $22 million and he said no. He doesn't need it. They do have three houses and four homes and three cats. I don't know how you split up three cats, but maybe the woman yesterday is how you do it.
Oh, God.
But Katy Perry apparently signed, this is the most bizarre thing ever, signed her divorce document with her name and then drew a little smiley face right next to it.
It's a very happy divorce.
What's happening with that? Maybe she's happy to be divorced.
Right, but even so, you think she just got the habit of drawing a smiley face?
I don't know. You don't see that on a lot of legal documents, that's for sure.
Not ones that are divorce documents.
I wonder if he's going to see the documents, if it's to make it a softer
moment. I don't know. Seems like they're
like,
seems like
they're,
both
of them
are
your friend and you're cool and this is a bummer.
They seem both fine. Yeah. It's possible they didn't spend much time together.
And they just really, truly decided, you're great, but this isn't going to work.
You're great. I'm great. We're great.
Right.
See ya.
Yeah. Could happen.
They truly are better than us when it comes to getting divorced.
Well, you had a divorce story. I will end with a happier story. Chad Ochocinco. You remember him.
Yeah. What an a-hole that guy is. But he's good.
He just lost the Super Bowl last week, and of course, he's playing for the Patriots now. Although he has been so low profile, I don't think most people even know he's on the Patriots.
Yeah, I didn't until the Super Bowl.
But he, according to TMZ.com, is getting ready to get married to his girlfriend, Evelyn Lozada. They're marrying in July, and he is changing his name back. He is dropping Ochocinco. He is going to go back to his birth name of Chad Johnson, which is what he used to be known by before he decided to become Chad 85, not even 85, just Chad 85, which was his legal name. Remember, he changed it.
He did?
He said,
he's
a man of substance. He says he doesn't want his new bride to have a made-up last name. So he's going to go back to Chad Johnson so that when they marry, she will be Evelyn Johnson instead of Evelyn Ochocinco, which I think is a very nice thing for him to do.
Yeah, I'm sure that was his idea.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I'll marry you, but I'm not going to be Ochocinco.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Laura Dern, who for a long time was in a lot of movies and now appears to mostly be on TV and wins a Golden Globe for every single show she's in. Yeah. She's currently on some HBO show I've never heard of. She is 45 years old today. Emma Roberts, Julie Roberts' niece, very popular movie and TV actress, is 21 years old today. Former Olympic champion Mark Spitz, who if I recall won 7 medals. correct? In an Olympic as a swimmer. Actor Robert Wagner is 82 years old today. Talk show host Glenn Beck turns 48. One of our all-time favorites, the beautiful Elizabeth Banks, who is currently a cast member on 30 Rock. She plays Alec Baldwin's Jack Donaghy's wife.
We're going to have to get out the moment with you.
Nope,
know that.
Don't have time for that.
Not now, really waiting.
Later this morning.
And we'll also be seen in The Hunger Games coming out this spring. Is 38 years old today. And young actress Chloe Moretz is, she is the Kick-Ass chick, is 15 years old today. And that is the show business. Next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show between 7 and 8 a.m. We're going to hook you up with tickets to go to the Grammys and also to this afternoon's pre-Grammy weekend party with the band Bush performing live. You win both. That's coming up here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We have so much bad for you this hour, don't we? We have the beer mug interviews from the Grammy Roundtable yesterday.
First of all, that's way good.
Well, good for us. Bad for, you know,
everyone else.
Maybe beer mug and his self-respect. And then we've got our little friend Kevin, who, as you know, is magic on the mic. Kevin is the least likely radio star of anyone you'll ever meet in your life, I think.
I wouldn't consider myself a star. I consider myself lucky to be hanging on to this sinking ship.
So every day after the show, we have to record promotional announcements that run throughout the day on K-Rock to talk about things that are coming up. So
and
yesterday,
most of the time, the rule is, by the way, if it's off the air, it does not get brought on the air. It stays off the air.
It's amazing.
Unless it's spectacular. You're right. Most of the time, the moments with only come from things that happen on the air. But every once in a while, something is so great, it needs to be shared with the listeners. So we were working yesterday in the studio on some promotional announcements that are supposed to run this weekend promoting Monday's show. And the fact that Monday, we're going to have a recap of all the stuff that happens at the Grammys on Sunday. And part of the reason we did them yesterday is because Ralph Garman is out. He's on vacation today. So we wanted to take advantage of him being around yesterday. He was going to do some voices, as he does, in some of the announcements, right?
Oh, we're out of time now. I'm sorry. We got to move on.
So we came up with this idea that we were going to be promoting the things that were happening at the Grammys, and then Ralph was going to be interrupting as Paul McCartney. And that's about as much planning as we do when we go into these announcements. We pretty much just wing it from there. So we start recording yesterday. Hey, party people, Kevin and Bean here. Join us Monday morning for an all-new show. We'll recap this weekend's Grammys. You know, Foo Fighters are performing at the ceremony this year.
And then Kevin jumps in.
Rihanna's going to be there.
And then Ralph jumps in and says, hey, wait a minute, Paul McCartney's supposed to break in.
I thought Paul McCartney was going to start talking about being on.
That's right, and me, Paul McCartney.
Plus Rihanna and Coldplay.
And Paul McCartney.
Adele, Bruce Springsteen. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Excuse me, hello, Beatle in the room.
Katy Perry will be for him.
Okay, here's where it starts to get interesting. So far, we're just laying down our tape and everything's going fine.
But let me just mention one thing. There's so much of a shorter leash on me. Like that little mistake right there. Everybody was so giddy. Ralph, like, his eyes get a little bigger. Omar starts to chuckle. It really is difficult.
Because it's a crack in the ice.
Oh, I know.
When it happens to you, it's a crack in the ice, and we realize it's possible that you will recover, and it'll just be a crack in the ice, and we'll skate on by. It's also possible that we're all heading into the water.
Yeah.
Because when you say,
Katy Perry will be for him.
We don't know if that's the first or the 80th time we're going to have to hear you attempt to do it.
You do.
Katy
Perry will be for him.
You do know,
from history, though, that it's probably a lot. We're probably in for quite some time.
Let's try it again.
Katy Perry's going to be for...
Omar laughing.
Carrie...
What?
What was that? What was Carrie? Who's Carrie? That's supposed to be Katy and Perry put together? Kevin? Hello?
Are you talking to me live?
Yes, I'm talking to you live.
I'm sorry. I thought that was still the tape.
Yes. What is Carrie?
Yeah, obviously it was a mixture of Katy and Perry. But at that point, Ralph is now, I think he's on his back with his feet up in the air, kicking him. Just giddy with nothing has been better, you know, for him in a long, long time.
What's going through your head at this time?
You know what's going through my head.
Three times you've attempted to say it. You know tape is rolling. And in your head, you can already realize, this is going on the air.
There's
right?
no way I could possibly get through this, first of all. Second of all, Ralph is laughing, and that breaks me up more than anything.
Right.
Some people can just go through that without being made to laugh. If somebody chuckles, I laugh immediately. Omar's behind me laughing. I can hear Bean making jokes and laughing and stuff. And so now I know there's no way I'm going to get through this. But maybe if I try it again really quickly, I can just get it out. We can move on. I can short circuit this whole thing.
All right. Let's see what happened.
Carrie.
What?
Stop it, Ralph. You're not helping.
Katy Perry performing? Come on, Katy.
At least that's a good read.
Katy Perry performing?
It was more of a question, wasn't it?
No, I'm saying, how great is that? Katy Perry will be for...
Omar, I think you know. I think you know I need this tape.
Come on.
I think you
know. This is not fair. This is off the air.
The kids need to hear this.
This is off the air.
Yeah, the inspiration you give to young people every day. Shut up, that they too can grow up and be like you.
It is funny how I always try to convince you that somehow it's a service to
like I'm an idiot. Dean tries to talk to me like I'm an idiot. Oh, no. People will be inspired.
All right. So you're what? 5 or 6 times in now. Now, in your mind, are you thinking still, I can just power on through this? There's no way I can't say this. Or are you thinking we need to figure out a way to rewrite this and do a different line?
Yeah. At some point, I started to bail because I knew there's no – I don't remember if it's right here yet. I probably tried it again.
All right.
Katy Perry.
That's it. Katy Perry what?
That's all you get. We'll be performing.
Yes!
All right. Can you put them together into one sentence?
Oh, God. Try it one all the way through. Try Try a sentence.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Try to say a sentence.
I can't talk and I'm an idiot.
Katy Perry.
I'm not going to do it because you know
words.
I'm going to screw it up.
Five
nope,
words.
I have confidence in you. I've got a dollar down that says you're going to get through.
Five words. I'm this stupid.
Five
I'm
going
to let you guys egg me into the 17th mistake
five
straight.
Five words in a row.
We are kind of mocking, aren't we?
Yes, of course. You're both going, oh, yeah,
I
bet you could do it. Because you know that Omar could have edited that together and it would have sounded like a normal human being.
And I also love that it's like we're trying to get somebody who doesn't speak English at all to just phonetically say the words so that we can edit them together to sound like a sentence. I love that, too. Yeah.
All right. I think you may get it here. Katy Perry.
But at a reasonable speed.
Be performing.
All together a little faster.
I'm not doing it. We need the line.
Bean, you have the line.
You really think you can't say 5 words in a row?
Yeah. I think that's been proven.
But now that we've
Don't
got
you?
That out of the way, now you're ready to do it.
Katy Perry will be performing.
Performing. Hey, Perry, be performing.
That's as good as I'm going to get. Let's be honest.
All right. That's the best right. we could get out of Kevin. But, man, it was fun time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was fun.
Our friend Anell Rivers fills in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat coming up in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, in the next half hour, we're going to help... all of us guys determine what it is that our ladies really do want for Valentine's Day, because I'm starting to see more and more articles about what they don't want, and it's all the stuff I thought was good. Yeah. You know, the chocolates and the flowers and stuff like that. Apparently that's all out now, Kevin. Apparently there's a whole new list of things they want now. So we're going to be looking for some help from the ladies coming up between 7 and 7:30 here on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about Beer Mug. Let's talk about the Grammys. They have something called the Grammy Roundtable, which is basically where they invite a bunch of radio stations down. They sit them at little tables, and then they take the artists and the different guests, and they just march them from table to table so they can do all these interviews. One person can do 15 interviews in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we send Beer Mug, and he tests the microphone first to make sure that it's got good volume.
Check 1, 2. Testing a new level on the audition. Dave, how do we sound, buddy? Sounds good in the headphones. Hot, very hot. Whoa!
Damn it.
Peeking out, clipping. I'm clipping like Blake Griffin.
I'm clipping like Blake Griffin is how it starts, just so you know.
Nice. And that's what he doesn't intend to even be on the air. That's just comedy he's doing for Dave.
Yeah,
he's on fire already.
Comedy spills out of him.
Nothing he can do about it.
Nothing he can do about it. Now, I didn't have time to leave this in every single interview, but for some reason, I guess because it's music and it's the Grammys, Beer Mug had to say,
I myself am a drummer,
to every single person that sat down. Somehow he worked in the fact that he's a drummer.
I wanted to relate.
I didn't know how you would do that.
Wanted to relate, Lisa.
So did you think that because many of the people you were interviewing were musicians also that you would have some instant rapport with them?
Sure.
Is that what was going on?
Exactly. But it wasn't just drummers. You would think, like, if a drummer sat down, I guess. I mean, I still wouldn't bring
Maybe.
It up because they're so much better than I am.
Yeah, but the main chord of music, Kevin, is the rhythm, the beat. It holds it all together.
I'm aware of that,
okay.
Muggs.
Okay.
But you're Muggs, and everybody else isn't.
That's true.
They have successful careers. All right, Joe Jackson, the father of the late Michael Jackson and the Jackson clan, sits down. By the way,
thank God you weren't interviewing him, because you hate that dude, right?
I do hate
Joe
that
Jackson.
Dude, yeah. He's the worst. Well, he used to beat Michael and all that stuff. He's abusive.
Yeah, he's a terrible man.
He's just a horrible man. But, and why is he at the Grammy Roundtable?
He was promoting his new cologne.
Right. Did you know that when he sat
down?
What? Yeah.
Joe Jackson has a cologne.
Now,
well, we all want to smell like an 80-year-old man.
So Muggs starts to talk to him, and he brings in the cologne, and then I guess some French guy sits down, the guy that designed the fragrance or something, and Muggs can't understand a word he's saying, so Muggs just goes into, you know, cover mode, which is fantastic. All right, that's super great. Fantastic, yes.
The father of talent. Planted many seeds in the music industry.
I like that he's the father of talent.
He's planted seeds.
Absolutely not talent, but the father of.
But I like what you did there, Muggs, with planted many seeds, because he has, you know, not just Michael Jackson, but obviously, you know, he's Janet Jackson and the Jackson 5 and Jermaine Jackson. He's got a lot of stars have come out of his sperm.
Exactly.
Right, but you started talking about his sperm within 5 seconds of meeting him.
That's how you got to start the conversation, Kevin.
Right, here we go.
Mr. Joseph Jackson, how you doing, man?
I'm good. And you?
I'm fantastic, man. Good to see you. Looking good. Looking fresh to death.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyone?
I'll take
that back. Anyone? Thoughts?
I'm a pasty white Jew. I'm talking to a black guy, so I better think of something hip I can say. Looking fresh to death.
Nice and dapper.
You know, I like the cologne. I have to...
Now he brings up the cologne immediately.
I didn't even bring it up. Yeah, wait, so you're here. You got some new cologne I hear.
Everybody needs to smell good.
Everybody. No one likes smelling bad. Now, you got men's cologne coming out. You got women's cologne and unisex, which is one and the same. Let me see
what... What's happening?
Everything good?
It's very good.
What's happening?
And this gentleman with you?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Good.
I'm
how are you?
Designer. Julian Roas Paris.
Oh, nice to meet
how
you,
are
sir.
You?
Fantastic.
Mr. Jackson gave me the chance to design the fragrance.
Very nice.
Create the fragrance in from France.
All right.
All right. Very nice. Fantastic. What? That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah, didn't understand a word the French guy said, but Joe was actually, he was wandering off in the middle of the room. He just turned around, and I was like, what are you doing? Yeah.
That's what happened, is he left and that guy sat down?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's how to get the guy some airtime. Yeah. I mean, if he sat down with Joe Jackson, maybe you wouldn't talk to him, but now he's the only guy in front of you.
We did Versailles before.
Okay.
And we have a perfume for men.
Very nice.
And the-
Very nice. Yeah. Listen to Muggs.
I wanted Joe back to the mic. I really didn't care
of
about
that. Of course. So he gets Joe back to the mic.
Yeah.
And this happens.
Before you go, Joe, I know you're the scout of very good talent. So I'm going to sing for you and you tell me how it is. You ready?
Now, Bean, in a million years, would you ever do that?
Never. I can't believe you did that.
You're a scout of good music? No, he happened to father some children that he beat into being good musicians. That's it.
Over 50 years ago, by the way.
So now Muggs is going to sing for Joe Jackson in the hopes of being discovered, I think.
My name is Beer Mug, I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug, how'd you like that?
I don't like that.
Joe, well, good luck with your cologne, sir. I'm a fan of your
what's
family.
Happening? What's happening?
I don't know, but I want to replay the end again because I don't think you heard because you were laughing. Here's what happened at the very end.
I'm a fan of your family.
Of your family?
Of course. Not you.
Not, I don't like you so much.
Right.
But the rest of the people in the family.
Not so bad.
Your ex-wife and all of the kids.
What made you think that singing for... What did you expect was going to happen when you sang for him?
Exactly the reaction he gave. He thought it was terrible.
I mean, it's not like you were in front of Simon Cowell from X Factor or Christina Aguilera from The Voice or something. I mean, this is Joe Jackson. Even if... I mean, what could he even do for you?
He might hook me up with a contract. You never
Before
know,
Before
you
go,
man.
Joe, I know you're the scout of very good talent. So I'm going to sing for you and you tell me how it is. You ready?
My name is Beer Mug. I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug. How'd you like that?
I don't like that.
Well, he gave a great answer.
Joe, well, good luck with your cologne, sir. I'm a fan of your family.
That's it.
Beautiful.
All right. Do you want to hear? I know we're running a little late on time, but do you want to hear a little of Kool & the Gang?
Yes, I do. I certainly do. Now, Kool & the Gang is a pop funk soul band that was very popular in the mid 70s all the way up until the early 1990s. They had dozens of hit records. Most people know Celebration, Ladies Night. They had a bunch of hits. Beer Mug, you were not a big Kool & the Gang fan?
He was not.
I can answer that because I heard the interview.
Okay.
So here's what happens. Kool of Kool & the Gang and one of the
Kool
others,
and Ronnie,
it doesn't matter, sits down across from Beer Mug, and Beer Mug is about to interview Kool & the Gang. So what do you think goes through Beer Mug's mind?
What do I know about Kool & the Gang? What can I start this conversation with?
Ronnie and Kool of none other than Kool & the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now correct me if I'm wrong,
Love it.
But
by the way, magic always follows. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is him trying to think while he's talking. Yes, what am I going to say?
And he never comes up with anything. Like every time he says, correct me if I'm wrong, yours should perk up because it's going to be good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this.
He's about to sing one of Kool and the Gang's biggest hits to Kool and the Gang.
And do a little dance.
What?
And what would the purpose of that be? For them to identify one of their own songs? What are you trying to accomplish here, Mike?
Yeah, I wanted them to say, yeah, that was it. That was
okay,
it right there.
But they've had a 30-year career. They still probably perform.
And they know all of the Kool and the Gang songs. I don't know what it is you're expecting them to say, that's a song.
I wanted to show them that I was a fan.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you wanted to show them that you were a fan. We're out of time. This is the last thing you're going to hear from these interviews. And then a little bit later this morning in the show, we're going to have to play some more because they're all magic.
Okay.
He's got Kool and the Gang. He wants to show them he's a fan. So he sings one of their songs.
Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
No.
That's not you guys.
But it sounds like it. That's the Sunshine
Band. That sounds like
Casey.
I always get you guys confused.
It was Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yes, I always get you confused.
That was Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Muggs, in your head were you hearing, womp, 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 womp. That's so embarrassing.
I want to run 30-year career of hits.
And you sing one song that's not theirs.
One song and it's not theirs. It's Casey and the Sunshine Band.
And
again, I'm with Bean. Even if you sang one of their songs and they go, yeah, that's one of our songs, what is the point?
Relation. Right. Relationship.
Exactly. How do you think the relationship went?
Not good.
That's correct.
Ralph Garman's out for a few days here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat every hour. And our old friend Annell Rivers, ladies and gentlemen, from the Nothing But Show podcast, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I want you to know, Annell, we didn't just call because it's Black History Month. We called because we love it when you stop by for the Showbiz Report. So thank you for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You called because you love it when I come in and because it's Black History Month.
Both.
You
killed okay. Maybe a little bit of both.
Now, you don't like the regular Showbiz.
Nah. I'm not sound much on cameras. That. No paparazzi, okay. Man,
you
for
like
me.
Bean saying, girl, holla.
And that lets you know it's time for the next show, next story. There. That's right. How we do it.
So, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Yes, sir. Time for the Showbiz BZ. How y'all doing today? Everybody good?
Yep.
Check this out. I got some good news for you guys.
All right.
I know it's election time coming up. Did you guys know Obama was a hipster?
No. He's too old to be a hipster.
No, he is not. Obama just joined Spotify.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
and,
all right.
Yeah. And in the process of joining Spotify, of course, made his playlist public.
Sure.
Yeah, about 28 songs or so. So I went ahead and looked through the playlist and I was blown away. Check out some
good,
of the stuff.
Good or bad?
Great. Phenomenal.
All right.
Okay. Check out how the POTUS gets down. Okay. You got No Doubt, Different People. Okay. Very strong.
Okay.
All right. Arcade Fire, We Used to Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong.
Uh-huh.
Florence and the Machine, You Got the Love.
Right.
Very, very strong. Okay. Wilco, all right, I got you.
I'm sorry, who put this together?
Obama!
I doubt it.
President.
I doubt
Someone
it.
Did Look, that for him. He doesn't have time
this
for this.
This is a group of advisors that needed to make sure everybody was hit with
he got Obama. Interns to
Obama
do it.
Obama is just me in 10 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all it is. You know what I'm saying?
I know. You're our president in 10 years.
There's no way the president knows who Arcade Fire and Florence and the Machine are. He's a 50-something-year-old black dude.
Dude, he's got daughters. Like, for example, I have a 13-year-old in my house.
Right.
I listen to stuff and like stuff I never thought I would like.
Do his 13-year-olds listen to Wilco?
Yeah, probably.
No offense to the president, but I'm with Kevin. This smacks of, hey, it's an election year. Let's put out a playlist that appeals to every voter across the country.
This is his version of going on Arsenio and playing the sax. Is that what
right,
that is?
Exactly. Yes.
Well, there's a couple more songs that are a little more like, okay. You know, in his alley. There's, of course, U2, Even Better Than the Real Thing.
Okay, sure.
That's still strong. I mean, barely, but it's still strong. Darius Rucker, Learn to Live.
Okay.
Yeah, Obama's a Hootie fan.
Mm.
And Sugarland. Everyday America, and I'm out.
Yeah. He looks like a big country music fan. I'm sure you picked that one, too.
Oh, man. You can't throw a rock in D.C. without finding a brother with some Sugarland in his car, man.
That's true.
That is true.
Girl, holla!
Next up. Oh, my God. Black people. How many times do we got to go over this? The closer you get to Arizona, the more likely it is you will be arrested. Kevin, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay.
That's where I'm from.
All right. Yeah. Rumor.
That's correct.
Check this out. Suge Knight. Y'all know who Suge Knight is, right?
Well, yeah. He should be arrested everywhere he goes.
Right. Okay.
Go ahead.
Suge Knight got arrested in Vegas, okay, for marijuana possession, okay. I.e. a little bit of the wacky tobacco. Okay, now, it's my thing, okay? I don't know what I've got to do to get you people, and I mean, yeah, you people, okay, to stop driving around Vegas with weed. You can do anything in Vegas. You can drink in Vegas. You can gamble in Vegas. You can buy sex in Vegas. You can kill a hooker at a bachelor party and get away with it in Vegas.
I saw that happen one time.
The only thing you can do, is smoke weed. I mean, there are literally like 25 other ways to get high in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, 24 of them are cocaine-based, but I'm just saying.
Like, it is funny that they've drawn the line at marijuana. Like, yeah. This is the one thing we're really going to take seriously.
I respect that. I'm a weed smoker. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
As you might know.
Huh.
And so, I mean, but when I'm in Vegas city limits, I recognize that, you know, I'm in their house, so I got to respect their rules.
You can do anything but smoke weed.
Anything but smoke weed. So I just drink and kill hookers at random. I mean, yeah. works for me.
Girl! Holla!
Next up, we got a little story here about an athlete I like to call Mr. Chad Ochocinco.
Yep.
But unfortunately, I can't call him that anymore, man, because Chad misses his Johnson. Okay, what's going to happen here? Chad's getting married to, I don't know if you're familiar with Evelyn Lozada. Very, very, very hot.
And she said, I want the last name Ochocinco.
Well, I think, you know, Chad said, I'm going to do you a favor. And I'm going to change my name from Ochocinco back to Johnson.
Ah, good.
So at least that's the story he's selling in the media.
Of course.
Okay. What really happened here, okay, is that Evelyn does not want to be referred to as Evelyn Ochocinco because Evelyn Johnson sounds like a respectable member of society.
Yes.
Evelyn Ochocinco sounds like an anchor on Telemundo. or like she should be leaving pillow mints in a hotel in Miami somewhere. So I mean, as a formerly married man and Kevin as a married man, I'm pretty sure you can agree. Wives don't typically like having to take your last name in the first place.
Yeah.
And then when your last name is literally 85, not even 85.
It's not 85, which his number is. He changed his name to 85.
Right. And then God forbid she do the hyphenate thing. Then she's Evelyn Lozada Ochocinco.
Yeah, no.
Which that just sounds like a horrible, horrible mismatch.
He's lucky to get someone to marry him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's extraordinarily rich. And of course, he's black. So, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
You know what's going on there. So Chad, congratulations on your wedding, man. I look forward to my invitation.
Girl! Yeah, we're going to do the birthdays now. We're out of time.
Go to celebrity birthdays. Yeah. Okay, I got celebrity birthdays right for you, man. I got actress Emma Roberts. She's 20. Emma Roberts is 20? God, I'm getting old.
Isn't that something?
Dude, that is too much. We've got, of course, singer Roberta Flack, Miss Killing Me Softly herself. She's 75. Number two, Robert Wagner. He's 82. And radio and TV host Glenn Beck, 48. Laura Dern is 45. Elizabeth Banks from Scrubs and 30 Rock is 38. Yeah, very many bells. Beam, use your hands at time. And there you go. And, of course, Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass. She is 15 already. Can you believe
that?
God, it seems like just yesterday. Before we go real quick, if you got something to do Saturday at 9 p.m., y'all need to go check out my girl Chip. She's down there at the Slide Bar in Fullerton with her band Fiction Reform. Great band. Let you guys know, though, there are no slides at the Slide Bar.
I made
that horrible mistake last time. And that's your boy Nell Rivers with the show.
Tickets to the 54th Annual Grammy Awards airing this Sunday night at Staples Center on CBS Television. Plus, we'll give you tickets for the K-Rock pre-Grammy party this afternoon with Bush. Both of those in about a half an hour or so right here. Every day this week on the Kevin Bean Show on the 7 o'clock hour, we have hooked you up with the Grammy prize package. Today, obviously, is your last chance, so stick around for that.
Hey, Bean, you're going to have to bring in some highlights from the Grammys on Monday. Is that cool?
Why do you say it like that?
Well, because Walking Dead comes back. So.
Oh, Walking Dead comes back. And by the way, our friend Kevin Smith has a new show on AMC that debuts right after The Walking Dead called Comic Book Man.
Oh,
so that's a 1-2 punch on Sunday night over there on AMC for folks who aren't watching the Grammys.
All right, so this time of year, whether you're a guy who has it together, you're a guy that doesn't have it together, you're a guy who loves or hates Valentine's Day, you get bombarded with advertisements from Lisa May mainly.
Yes.
They're for flowers and they're for chocolates. Now,
I can't afford to do half of the things that Lisa May has begged me to do this year for Valentine's Day. She's got quite a list.
In my mind, though, it seems like flowers and chocolates are played. Like, it seems like a girl will go, oh, great, flowers and chocolates.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of originality or thoughtfulness put into it, but I think one of the reasons a lot of people do chocolates and flowers is because chicks seem to really love chocolates and flowers.
We do. And
that's the conundrum.
If you send them to work, by the way.
Yeah, that's the key.
Awesome. Especially chocolate dipped strawberries.
All right, guys, listen. Send your stuff to work so that the girl can show off to everybody that
bragging
she's got.
Bragging rights.
Okay.
All totally. Right.
That's good.
That's pretty great.
Now, we come from two different places. This is Kevin speaking. I want to do something nice for my wife because she has to live with me.
Yes.
And that's not a fun time. Let's be honest.
Give her a divorce is the best thing you could do for your wife every year.
She would jump up and down and run around the front yard screaming. Bean comes from a different standpoint, which is he hates to be told that day is the day for romance, and he doesn't want to be forced into it.
Because every day is Valentine's Day at my house. Because February 14th couldn't possibly be more romantic than February 13th or February 15th at my house. That's
why. Do you know what the word romance means?
He doesn't know. So here's our question. Look, we both want to do good, right? Mm-hmm. We want to perform well on Valentine's Day. What's the secret? Somebody call us.
You want us to tell you what it is we want.
Listen, here's the thing. We know we're supposed to know. We know you want us to know, and we know you're not going to tell us. And that puts us in a weird situation, because even those of us that want to do it right are still totally guessing, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Do you want to know what Gwyneth Paltrow thinks you should do?
Sure.
On her Goop website?
Oh, is this on her Goop?
Sure. Yes.
I'm richer than your website?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so before your loved one wakes up, surprise them with a preloaded playlist on their iPod with songs that are significant to the two of you. Then
Well, that's not incredibly difficult.
Not, I guess that's it. But how do you present those? Do you put them on the? I don't know. Okay,
put them on the clock.
You do that. You put them on the clock or whatever.
Wake them up with the iPod playing songs. I guess
it's like five, so she has time to listen to them before she gets ready
right,
to work.
Exactly. And then at 7 a.m. before she goes to work, a foolproof breakfast. And breakfast on a weekday is, you know, romantic. So she has recipes for a berry yogurt parfait or an easy cheesy omelet with a side salad.
Oh, dear.
Then you set an alarm to go off at 11 a.m. on her cell phone that tells her to check her pant pocket or her purse or whatever. And you surprise her with tickets to a movie or a play or some sort of event for that evening, or maybe a time and a place to meet you. That's kind of cool.
And you're nude?
Actually. No. Oh. That evening.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
not a nooner.
No, I said in your nude.
Oh, in your nude.
That's
I thought
the
you
point.
Said it nude.
No. Well, whenever.
Yeah, there you are in a hotel room naked.
Right.
Hey, honey. Yay.
Maid comes in.
And there's a recipe for a simple chicken dinner.
Oh, F for
that you.
You
can
not
make
everybody
at home.
Can cook. Dear God.
So there you go.
So, ladies, girls.
Yes.
Maybe you could call and just tell us what went wrong in the past, what somebody thought was a good idea that they gave you, but more importantly, what the F are we supposed to do?
I will tell you one thing.
I want it to be wonderful.
The thing that we
no
is
idea.
Most important to us is that you think about it and you plan something. That's the most important. And that you don't plan it the day before. That you give it some thought and you kind of have it all settled
but
a couple
how
of weeks
do we,
before.
Here's my question. How do we fake that?
How do we come up with something on Tuesday that makes it look like we've worked on it for weeks? Is that the question?
I don't know
I'm
about
just trying
that.
To get some help for my brothers out there that are trying to...
Okay.
Listen, nobody wants to fail, and you can, as a guy, fail at Valentine's
and
Day.
And we'll never forget it.
That's correct.
And I have to add, as I do each year, by the way, and I know you're already grimacing here, Kevin, but Valentine's Day, a couple's holiday, is really just what can a guy do for a girl, right? There's very little thought going in the other direction at this point, correct?
Well, I don't think that. I mean, 2 years ago, I made an amazing Valentine's Day dinner for my boyfriend. I made bouffe bourguignon and I made volcano cake, bouffe bourguignon, which took two days, by the way.
That sounds like crap.
It was amazing. So I think a lot of women do it, but they just want it to be returned.
I think a lot of women do it too, Bean. But all of the commercials are toward the guys.
Absolutely. Because they need help.
And guys don't have that. And guys don't have that. Oh, chocolates. Oh, jewelry. Oh, flowers.
Right.
Oh, stuffed animals.
Yes,
they don't have all that stuff.
Yes,
like,
they do.
Like the girls do. What are you talking about?
Blowjob.
Guys don't want any of that. What? Excuse me,
what?
Kevin.
Can I not say that now?
No,
you can't say
that's
that.
That's been outlawed too.
Ladies, what is it you really want for Valentine's Day? We're doing this today because that gives guys the weekend to work on it because the holiday, quote unquote, is Tuesday. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. Doing a public service for the men today. Valentine's Day is Tuesday. There are articles coming out everywhere this week online, including this one. In case it's not obvious, things not to get your girlfriend or wife for Valentine's Day. It includes lingerie. And I guess the reason there is it's impossible to pick the right size, and then you get in trouble if it's too big or too small. She'll be insulted.
Totally
always,
true.
Always pick too small.
And then she's unsexy. And then she can't wear it, right?
Right.
Which is fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
Chocolates,
always pick too big. That was my
chocolates,
joke.
Stuffed animals, flowers, gift cards. The list goes on and on of what you're not supposed to do for women on Valentine's. Valentine's Day, what are you supposed to do? Ladies, we're asking you to unveil some secrets to us at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Jessica. She's on line one. She's got some advice for all guys who are facing this problem this week. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
What's your advice?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
She sounds mad already, doesn't she? She does.
A little She's bit.
No, not at all. I was calling in for the Valentine's topic. Okay. I'll keep it short. I agree with Lisa May. All you have to do is make it look like you planned something. It's an easy Valentine's Day. It's a Tuesday. Everyone's coming from work. No one's expecting anything crazy. Even if you can't cook, maybe pick up dinner from your favorite restaurant that you two love. Put it on some nice plates. Bring a bottle of wine.
Great idea.
You know you thought about it. You both love the food. We both know, hey, it's too crazy. We're not going to try and cook some fancy dinner tonight. Keep it simple and just don't ask the girl on Monday or Sunday or on Tuesday, what should we do tonight? Or what should we do on Valentine's Day?
So don't ask.
Sure way.
I see. Okay.
That's good advice,
good
Jessica.
Advice. Don't ask them.
That is very smart. Jessica, thank you very much for the call. And like you were saying, I think, Lisa, it also shows that you thought about it ahead of time. It's not just something that you whipped up at the last second, although technically this is one that you kind of can do at the last minute, which is on your way home from work Tuesday, right?
Yeah, but I love that idea of a restaurant that you guys love but doing it at home.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
All right. Good idea.
Good.
All right, let's try Brittany, who's looking for something a little more difficult to pull off for her man. She must be awfully hot if she expects us to jump through hoops for her. Hey, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
What's the secret for Valentine's Day?
Flowers, if your guy sucks at romance, or a little treasure hunt leading up to a nice dinner. I think that's kind of cool.
A treasure hunt?
How does that
work?
Yeah.
How many steps is involved in that?
I don't know. As many as the guy's willing to put in effort.
What if I put in 100 steps?
That's like
it's midnight. She's like, when am I going to get to a restaurant?
So basically just something that's, I don't understand, something that's fun that you guys can do together, make it a game? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, absolutely. Games are fun. Everyone likes games.
Okay. Yeah, too much
a
work.
Little
too
clues.
Much work.
Right. That's too kind
much.
Of fun.
Nope, too much work. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call.
Look, we want our women to be happy, but let's be honest, if it's too much work.
I know, you won't do it.
Exactly.
All right, let's try Vanessa, line four. Vanessa is going to help us out. What do the ladies want for Valentine's Day? Hi, Vanessa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
What's an idea?
Well, a few years ago, I had an ex-boyfriend, and he called off for me. I didn't have to go to work that day, and we just stay home the whole day, pretty much. The whole day.
So wow. call in sick and spend a sick day at home in bed is what your suggestion is.
Yep.
Interesting. Great.
That works for everyone.
That works for the guy, too.
Yeah.
That's a win-win.
Like
Thank
it.
You very much for the call. Go Raiders. Robin writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, spa day, then dinner out somewhere, then a good massage and pampering. Sounds like a lot of work, by the
way.
Wow. But
Take
she does that girls are quite limber after all that massaging and pampering. It's a win-win for you, too, if you get my meaning. That's what Robin has
nope,
to say.
Nope, don't understand it.
All right, we got time for one more. Who do you like?
Well, let's try Belle.
Okay.
Hi, Belle.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. What's the idea for Valentine's Day? By the way, we're doing this today because we know if you wait till Monday, you're
in trouble.
You might be screwed, so you need like a 3 or 4 day advance notice. Belle, go ahead.
All right. So I was saying that, you know, flowers and candy is okay. It's definitely great. You know, it just depends how you deliver it and how you show it, you know?
What does that mean?
And then, you know, instead of going to Ralph's and buying a generic box of chocolates,
right?
Go buy candy that's, you know your girl will like, but you know what she's into. You know, she's into hardcore working out and, you know, dieting. Of course, you're not going to get her the worst, sweetest chocolate in the world.
Right. So you just get her chocolates? That's your answer?
No, and I'm just saying that things like that are okay. And same with flowers. Instead of going and buying a bouquet, how about trying to make it yourself? Finding something that she enjoys, trying to get clues for flowers that she likes.
I get mine from the guy in the corner. That's cool, right? I did that one year.
Yeah,
I got to tell you.
Completely wrong.
I got to tell you, I did that one year, and flowers never die faster than when you. They start dying the second you take them from that corner. They're dead by the time you get them home.
But, Belle, you have more of an idea about how they get delivered?
Not necessarily delivered, but put together, yeah.
Put together. You know, so put it together yourself. That's not going to happen because I can't do it better than that.
Exactly, right.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's
though.
We'll give Yvonne on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page the final page. What do women really want for Valentine's Day? For him to stop asking for anal. So we'll leave it right there. And then we'll move on and clear the phone lines. And now open them right back up at 1-800-520-1067. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show in the 7 a.m. hour, we have been hooking you up with an amazing weekend. We're talking about this afternoon, the pre-Grammy party brought to you by K-Rock featuring the band Bush. And we're talking about tickets to actually be at Staples Center Sunday night to see the Grammys in person. If you want both, and if you're a Coldplay fan, this is a good game for you. Coldplay fans, because, of course, they are performing at the Grammys Sunday night. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. You got a chance to win them next right here on the Kevin. Mr. Movie Phone himself, thank you for calling Movie Phone. That guy joins us in the next half hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Movie Beat. Plus, we'll talk to Drew Doughty from the Los Angeles Kings next hour as well. First, though, how about some tickets to see Bush this afternoon at the K-Rock pre-Grammy party and tickets to the Staples Center Grammy Awards show themselves this Sunday night. Of course, you can see the show on CBS. Better to be there in person. We're giving away tickets right now for Coldplay fans. Am I right?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I have a strict no banjo policy in the music that I listen to. That's why this music is more baffling to me than any. But these are all Coldplay songs. All you have to do is identify the name of the song. However,
okay. All right.
They're done in bluegrass style.
Ooh.
Why?
Why is a good question. I don't know why they would need any Coldplay song done in bluegrass style, which is basically fast banjo picking and grinning.
Yeah, like who's the audience for that? Because people who like Coldplay songs, I don't know, doesn't Coldplay do a good job with those?
You dig. I don't know. I mean, you have their string versions that they use maybe in offices sometimes, but who rocks the bluegrass? I don't get it, but you're going to have to identify the song and tell us what it is. Your clue is it's a Coldplay song.
All right, we told you we were looking for Coldplay fans. Let's hope that's who we have on the phones here. If you name the song correctly, you go into the drawing, and then Lisa will tell you who wins at the end. We'll take them in order and start with Lauren on line one. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Lauren.
All right, listen up. Here's a bluegrass version of a Coldplay song. Kevin, we're just going to play it one time, right?
One time, no repeats.
One time. Okay. So listen up.
Pay attention. Here we go.
Well, that is truly awful. What Coldplay song are they doing?
It did have the theme.
Oh, no.
The theme.
I know,
the melody.
I'm so nervous. Yeah. I can't guess it.
All right, take a guess then.
Relax your brain.
Take a breath and guess a Coldplay song.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
We were looking for clocks this time. Lord. Down upon my
knees. Look, here's the thing. You might be nervous and you might be having a hard time, but we want you to at least throw out a Coldplay song.
Right.
Whatever your favorite Coldplay song is.
There's no way you'll win if you don't
say
guess.
Nothing. Right. If you say nothing, right. All right, let's try Sean, line two. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Clocks
was easy, right? Lauren should have gotten that one, right?
Yeah, she should have.
All right, let's see how you do.
Here you go. Here's your bluegrass version, and then you tell us the title. There is not enough FU in the world for that version of that song. John, what song did they just destroy?
You know what? I'm going to say Every Teardrop is a Waterfall.
I apologize. In my place.
That was a tough one.
He made a good guess. That was a tough one. Yeah. It was sort of the guitar part, but it was still tough. All right, let's go to Connie.
Hey, Connie.
Hi,
good luck.
How are you guys?
We are good.
We were doing better before we started hearing bluegrass versions of Coldplay songs, but somehow that's what we're doing here today. So listen up and name this song.
Okay.
I gotta tell you, I'm looking at the answer and it doesn't make sense to me. I don't even.
Beer Mug, did you go out of your way to pick the part of the song that sounded least like the Coldplay song? What are we doing here?
It had the chorus in it. It had the chorus in it.
It did?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the answer and I can't. All right, listen. Do you have any idea, Connie?
Is it Trouble?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
this is it.
Guys.
Came along, I wrote a song for you.
Wow. That sounded nothing like Yellow.
Sorry, let's try Jocelyn, line four. By the way, in case you're interested, Coldplay is going to be performing their song with Rihanna called Princess of China. That's the song they're going to be doing together on Sunday night on the Grammys. That's not the song the Bluegrass Band is going to be doing next, Jocelyn, but you tell us what it is and you go into the drawing, okay?
Okie dokie.
All right, we have zero people correct so far.
So far, yeah. We're very close to sudden death.
Good luck. Maybe the easiest one.
Oh, the scientist.
The scientist! Nicely done. Tell you I'm sorry. All right, now I doubt we'll get another one, but should we go just in case?
Let's take Josiah. If Josiah gets his right, then we'll do a drawing between the two. If Josiah screws it up, then Jocelyn will be the winner by default. Right.
Are you there, Josiah?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, good luck. It's all up to you.
All right.
Congratulations, Jocelyn.
Boy, is this terrible music. Fantastic. My God. All right, take a guess.
Man, I have no idea. I'm just going to...
Blame you on that one, but guess one.
Yeah, Speed of Sound.
Sorry. So I look in your direction, but you pay me no...
Wow, that was shiver is what we were looking for. All right, let's fire the Bluegrass Band. Let's go back to Jocelyn and give her the good news. Jocelyn, you're going to see Bush this afternoon at the K-Rock pre-Grammy party, and you'll be in the audience in person to see the Grammy Awards on Sunday night. How about that?
Ouch, ouch.
I think she's happy.
Ouch. Congratulations for being the only person that got one right.
Oh, my God, thank you.
And F Bluegrass. So much better when not done with banjos.
No kidding.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
I, myself, am a drummer.
Right.
So, okay. And I've been...
Not now.
I've been lucky to...
We don't have...
Have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad
grew up
listening to jazz.
And I know you want to hear the end of that, Bean, but we're going to have to wait for about a half hour.
Beer Mug at the Grammy Roundtable yesterday, interviewing everybody from Michael Jackson's father, Joe, to Kool & the Gang. So... We got that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph is off for a few days. We're filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Our friend Anel Rivers will be here with the Showbiz Beat next hour. Right now, it's us, Kevin and Bean. And I want to start with a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Wanderlust. This is the new Jennifer Aniston movie. She, by the way, is a terrific comic actress. It's funny because she's so much better known as a tabloid celebrity now that I think sometimes people forget what a fine actor she is.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
I would lead with Paul Rudd, though, because for me, she scares me. Any movie she's in scares me.
Well, she does have terrible taste in romantic comedies. I will give
you
that.
And that's pretty much what she does.
But I think this Paul Rudd movie that she did,
much
and also
better.
Malin Ackerman is also in it, looks really funny. And this is called Wanderlust. It comes out everywhere on February the 24th. We have a K-Rock screening the night before at the AMC Burbank 16. If you want to go, we'll take three winners right now at 1-800-520-1067. You can call now to win from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Another name is being tossed out as a new judge for the X Factor.
Yeah, okay. Now they cleaned house, right? They got rid of Nicole the Pussycat Doll.
Yep.
They got rid of, who else? Paul Abdul. She's off the show now. So right now it's just, what's his face and the other guy?
Simon Cowell and L.A. Reid, right?
That's right, yes. That's what I said. What's his face and the other guy?
By the way, reversing roles here for a second. It feels good to be you. You know, I hate American Idol because it's just karaoke to me and I'm not drunk, so I don't like it. And I don't watch The X Factor. I don't care about any of these shows. Mm-hmm. Katy Perry,
yes.
If she becomes a judge on The X Factor, which
you have to watch every week,
which
right?
Simon Cowell tossed out on Extra last night, maybe she. It sounds to me like he was just saying she would be great.
Yeah,
which we all think. But if she actually becomes a judge, then that's my show.
Is that your appointment, TV?
That's correct.
She's the best person in the world ever, by the way. And I said that before I knew she made $44 million last year. If she were broke, she'd be the best person in the world. We were talking about Jennifer Aniston a minute ago. Here's a story involving her old friend's co-star, Courtney Cox. I don't watch Cougar Town. Are you guys into that show at all? Are you watching it?
No.
Lisa, Cougar Town?
I did not watch it.
I used to. And then it went away for a really, really long time.
Yes, it has been a show that has been on and off the schedule on ABC. It is coming back for a third season starting Tuesday. If you are interested and want to catch up on what's been going on the show, they are having a mini marathon this Saturday night on ABC. They're showing a bunch of episodes in a row. And, from what I understand, it's supposed to be a very funny show.
Courtney Cox, of course, recently separated from her husband, David Arquette. She did an interview this week where she talked about how she is getting ready to re-enter the singles scene. She has not started dating since she and her husband broke up. She says partly because, and this drives me crazy whenever I see hot, rich celebrities say this, no one ever asks her out.
Okay, but you think about, she probably spends most of her time on the set. And then the other part of her day, the other part of her day taking care of her daughter.
She's not on She's the Boss, Kevin. She's on a show called Cougar Town.
What I'm saying is she may not be out a lot. So her world is really small right now. And that can be a problem.
Somebody
would have to break in past security to ask her out.
And then that would be alarming.
Right.
So you'd probably say no.
I think you make an excellent point. Having said that, though, it just seems like somebody like Courtney Cox, who's very attractive, very famous, very rich, it seems like she couldn't go to Starbucks without somebody talking to her. You know what I mean?
She was dating one of her co-stars. Well, wasn't according she to this, for a while?
According to this, no. I mean, you know, they put her together with everybody she's in a photo with. But according to this, she has not started dating at all since she and David Arquette broke up. And I kind of thought that part of the reason for that was they seemed very close and very, you know, kind of even chummy after the divorce. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought they were going to get back together. I thought that's where that was headed. It's a little time apart. Now they're back together.
Yeah, but he stopped like 20 women in that little time apart.
He started banging everything. Right, exactly. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But she says, and this may be good news for you if you've always, you know, I've always carried a torch for Courtney Cox. Apparently, you'll have your shot here pretty soon.
I have long said I wish I was Blue Ivy. Have you heard me? I've said that 100 times.
If you've said it once, you've said it 100 times.
That's right. Isn't she a month old? Wasn't she just born like a month ago to
Beyonce? He says it a lot every day.
I say it every day. She was born, of course, to Beyonce. Let's be honest. That's pretty good. And Jay-Z. And apparently she has 6 nannies, according to In Touch.
How? Oh, is that possible?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you want a shift?
I really don't know. I have twins. And we 6 nannies? What do they do? And she has a baby bottle that has pink sapphires on it.
Really?
I wonder if that's true.
Do you think it was a gift from someone?
I don't. Maybe? I think Beyonce bought it because she can.
Well, she certainly can. That's true.
I want to be that little girl.
She's going to have quite a life. I'll tell you who you don't want to be is Halle Berry right now. Halle Berry is trying to leave the United States in a hurry. Why? Because a crazy man who has stalked her in the past just escaped from a mental institution. This is a serious story, by the way.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it happens to involve celebrities, but the LAPD is all over the TV this week with this mugshot of Robert Hoskins. He apparently went to 10 years to jail for stalking Madonna back in the 1990s, and now he has moved on from Madonna because, well, look at her, and he has set his sights on Halle Berry. He escaped from the hospital on Tuesday, telling everybody that he plans to cut Halle Berry's throat.
Oh, man!
LAPD is saying that the guy is for real. He's serious. He travels with a gun and a knife. He is armed and extremely dangerous. They are naturally stopping by Halle Berry's home about every 45 minutes to make sure she's okay, because why not? If you're a police officer and you can, you do. So Halle Berry is in the middle of a custody battle right now over the child that she had with her former boyfriend, Gabrielle Aubrey, who's also a model. And she says, look, I got to get out of here because I am in danger. I want to move to be with my current boyfriend and live in France. And the baby daddy, Gabrielle Aubrey, says, hey, it's my kid. You can't just take my kid out of the country. What do you do if you're the judge? I mean, you got to look at both sides. You got to go, yeah, the father has rights to the kids, but I understand Halle Berry's concern if she's got a guy out there on the loose threatening to cut her up.
I would think the father would then have to kick in for personal security 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's really a good solution. But I would think there are ways to keep her safe.
Right,
don't you?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, she is, and I think you would be too terrified if you knew this guy was out there and had made these kind of threats before. So anyway, very serious story. Don't anybody ever hurt Halle Berry, because then you got me to deal with.
You don't want to deal with B.
Yeah. And you don't want me.
He's a mean mother effer. F you to Zac Efron.
What's been bragging, going on with my sweet Zac?
He's been bragging to AbsoluteNow.com that he's a bit of a romantic. And for Valentine's Day, what he does is he paints and then writes songs for the objects of his affection.
Oh, well,
that is romantic.
Oh, you!
It's kind of hard to compete with that, isn't it?
Although if he's giving you like crappy paintings and then you have to hang them up, that kind of sucks.
It's like stick people.
It's Zac Efron.
Today's celebrity
people kissing.
Birthdays, how about movie and television star Laura Dern, who turns 45 years old today? Emma Roberts is 21. Boy, she has grown up fast and a good little actress, very, very attractive. She, of course, is also Julie Roberts' niece and Eric Roberts' daughter. Mm-hmm. Emma Roberts, 21 today. George Stephanopoulos, who made the transition from politics into television in a big way. Remember, he was a senior advisor in the Clinton administration. Now he's the host of ABC's Good Morning America. He turns 51 years old today, and he's a tiny, he's almost a little midget.
He is a
midget. I don't know if you know that or not. He's so tiny.
He's a midget.
Mark Spitz, one of the all-time great Olympians, won seven the year he swam in the 1970s, is 62 years old today. Robert Wagner from the Austin Powers movies, he is number two, is 82 years old today. TV and radio personality Glenn Beck turns 48. The beautiful actress Elizabeth Bank turns 38 years old today. And Chloe Moretz from the Kick-Ass movie is 15, and that is the show. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. By the way, Lisa May just told me during the Sublime song that she's going to see The Vow this weekend. So
of course.
Today. Today, 2:20.
And I said, oh, you haven't seen the trailer for that? And she said, I know. So I'm hoping Mr. Movie Phone can talk you out of it because he's going to be on reviewing it because he's actually seen it coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Beach.
Okay.
Hey, you know who's on the phone? Our old friend Mole.
Oh.
I love Mole. Cool. Hi, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean, you know who it is? It's Mole.
Yeah.
Hi, Lisa May.
Wait.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Lisa May.
Hey, listen, you guys. I'm calling this because... So there's no screw-ups this year, okay?
All right.
I decided to hold the Super Bowl party at my place. You guys are going to love this. I'm filling my sink with melted nacho cheese. You guys ready for some football?
Well, you mean you had a Super Bowl party on Sunday? Is that what you're coming to tell us
Sunday.
About?
You guys coming over is going to be awesome.
This Sunday?
This coming.
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday.
Mole, the Super Bowl was this past weekend. You must have heard about it. It was on the news.
No.
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, God. My TiVo series manager button is so confusing.
Oh, Mole.
Are you serious?
Yes. How could you not have heard about it? Everybody was talking about the Patriots and the Giants, an exciting game. You must have heard about it.
You know what? That's probably why I'm able to buy tickets are so cheap now.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet deal. I got them on Craigslist. I got to go pick them up. They're $200, but they come with something called an M4M relaxation massage. Pretty sweet.
Do you still have to go to Indianapolis for the game?
I guess not.
Yeah, it's over.
I guess the three hookers in Indianapolis can leave now.
Not to ruin it, but the Giants did win.
And let me ask you something. It turned out they didn't actually have gigantism, right? It was just a bait and switch.
No. That's just the name of the team. They call them the New York Football Giants.
I was going to bet that.
You can't bet on that. That's not one of the prop bets.
Hey, did Madonna fall down and use her life alert button?
She did fall down. We did not see her hit the life alert button, though. That would have been a great bet.
Yeah. They said no Cousins Al's picks today.
Well, no, because the season's over. See, the thing about this is that after the Super Bowl, which was this past Sunday, now we have to wait, unfortunately, until, you know, training camp or whatever.
Oh, no more football. Can't even play football on the beach anymore.
Can't do that. That has been outlawed, yes.
I was going to make my drunken chicken wings. Dude, you know how hard it is to get a chicken drunk?
They're so uptight, are they?
Hey, let me ask you guys a nice question. For your Super Bowl, did you guys make your five-layer Kevin and Bean Dip? Give me your names.
What?
Kevin and Bean Dip.
We don't have anything called a Kevin and Bean Dip. I know you like to suggest that, but it just
doesn't
exist.
Names.
I know it is.
It isn't that funny, Mole.
Oh, hey, look, at least we still got the Golden Globes to party, yeah, right?
Yes.
That's over. It's the Grammys this weekend. But
yeah, what about the Grammys, Mole? That sounds like something you'd be into. You like music, right?
Yeah, I'll do a Grammy.
No, not a Gram. These are the Grammys. I'm sorry. We didn't mean to have to give you so much bad news, Mole, but you got to get yourself a calendar and you got to write in big letters on the days of the things that are coming up so you don't miss stuff anymore.
I'm cruising over to Demi's to do some whippets.
Drew Doughty from the Los Angeles Kings joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He scored 100% of the Kings' goals last night and 50% of what was needed to not lose the game. Am I right about that, Kevin?
How dare you? Well, we had to pull our goalie, so we did lose 3-1, unfortunately.
So we'll talk to him coming up here, plus more of Beer Mug's fantastic interviews from the Grammy Roundtable, including an extended long-form interview of him with Kool and the Gang that I think you're going to – I think it's going right to the Radio and TV Hall of Fame.
You thought it was uncomfortable before. It just started getting uncomfortable when we had to stop.
First, though, Ralph Garman is out for a few days on a well-deserved vacation, which means we bring a guy onto the show who's actually seen the movies for the Movie Beat, our old friend Russ Leatherman. He is Mr. Movie Phone and 6SecondReviews.com. Mr. Movie Phone, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
It's such a crazy concept to review movies that you've seen, right?
Yeah, but anyone can do that, is Ralph's point.
Yeah, right.
Well, Mr. Movie Phone, I know we have four major releases to talk about here, but I have to ask about the life of a movie reviewer. Are you ever excited to go to the movies anymore if you have to see five of them a week?
Every now and again. I wanted to see Safe House.
Me too. Uh-huh. I'm dying to.
Right? But then
don't say anything bad about it. I'll punch you right in the face.
Well, that's what he's here for. He's here to tell us about it.
All right. Come on. But then again, I had to, get fired up for Journey to the Mysterious Island.
Yeah.
They write bees. Come on.
Then last week, you had the whale-sized turd. You had to wade through that. I mean, that was something you had to do for your job, was that Drew Barrymore movie, right?
Yeah. And I love that I was able to start a trending topic on Twitter called whale-sized turds.
I do too. That was fantastic. All right. Well, you brought up Safe House. I know that is the first one on the list today. And of course, Denzel Washington is an actor who is generally brilliant in everything he does. How about in this one, Mr. Movie Phone?
Yeah, love him. And you guys, you saw the trailer, the Super Bowl. You've seen
the commercials. Can't wait.
They want you to know that he's a rogue ex-op. He's rogue.
He's the best we've got, but he's rogue.
Right, exactly. Well, you've got Ryan Reynolds. He's this rookie CIA agent. He's in charge of this safe house in South Africa. Just kind of sits there. Nothing happens. Denzel Washington shows up. He's a rogue ex-op. He's brought in, and now everybody wants everybody dead. That's pretty much what's going on with this movie.
This movie was made for me.
Well, let's listen in. Here's a clip.
They're here for me, but they want me alive. You don't kill them. You got one to change. It's okay. I remember my first posting, Rio de Janeiro. House like this. Not one single visitor, but I remember rule number one. You are responsible for your house guests. I'm your house guest. The clock is ticking. They gave you the keys. Do your duty, son.
Shut up.
You want to be the guy that lost Tobin Frost?
Yeah.
You know what? The bottom line.
I didn't understand any of that, but it sounds intense.
It sounds super intense. The bottom line is Denzel Washington, he's just the baddest badass in Badass Town.
That's what I want to hear.
Right? Like, this movie, you'd think it was directed by Ridley or Tony Scott. It wasn't, but the director certainly took some pointers. I will tell you this, it is nonstop action.
From the moment
you sit down in the seat, there's killing, there's blowing up, there are car chases. It's relentless. It is literally relentless.
Love it.
Now, someone could say, hey, we've seen this story before, done a dozen times, don't care. But here's what you do care about. Ryan Reynolds, Lisa. Let me just tell you, he holds his own with Denzel Washington.
Really?
He is I'm sure he lost a limb or something bad happened to him while making this movie, because he just takes an ass kicking from moment one. But pretty good that you can be up with Denzel Washington, hold your own, and pull it off.
Yeah.
So we like Safe House. We're in. We're checking out for sure.
That's a recommendation for Safe House. I'm surprised. Okay, let's move on to The Vow, which has a lot of the ladies excited as we head into the Valentine's Day weekend. Of course, Rachel McAdams has got a great track record. Channing Tatum, the ladies love. Sam Neill, Jessica Lange, Scott Speedman. Great cast. Tell us about this one, Mr. Movie Fun.
Well, here's what you got. You got a story about a woman who's in a car accident, Rachel McAdams, goes into a coma, loses her memory.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, happens all the time. It's based on a true story, Lisa.
Sure.
Do not mess around. But here's what happens. She forgets, and they have to start over as strangers.
No, they don't!
Yes, he's got to find a way to make her fall in love with him all over again.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Here's the deal. In The Vow, Rachel McAdams loses all memory of Channing Tatum. Wish I could do the same.
No! Okay, but really... Okay. Keep me in mind.
You're going to see it anyway.
Because guys don't like this as much as girls would anyway, but...
No, you have to explain something.
Really,
to me,
Lisa, how bad?
Because this ain't The Notebook. He ain't no Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And why is he the flavor du jour? Right? Like, what?
I cannot explain that. I don't know. I wish Ryan Gosling were in it.
Right. Well, then it'd be The Notebook. So go watch that. But but Channing Tatum, right? He's got like those crooked teeth and those dead little eyes. What?
He does have dead little eyes. You're right.
I don't know.
Yeah, really? Like really, really, really bad?
So we're out for The Vow. All right. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's got those pecs popping in Journey to the Mysterious Island.
Yeah.
Now, this is a sort of another spin on the Jules Verne classics, right, where Johnson and his son, they go to find this island that's very mysterious.
Now, I hate to interrupt, Mr. Movie Phone, but was there a Journey? Because Journey 2 was a surprise to me. Is this a sequel to something that I missed?
Yeah, it was Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Right. That's what it was. Okay, gotcha. Right. Back to you.
That's it. And so now they're off to find a mysterious island. If we have a clip, let's play that.
Wait, you mean we're stuck here for 2 weeks?
Stuck here? I think it'll be fun.
Surviving out here is not going to be fun. Plus, how do you think your mom's going to feel if we're off the grid for more than 2 weeks?
By the time you get back, she's probably going to be remarried.
So, what's the plan, Colonel Sanders? How about you show us all some more of your rinky-dink trinkets that in no way are going to get us off this island? And is anyone else thinking about the lizard eggs hatching?
If you're afraid of a few critters, maybe you shouldn't have come down here, Henry.
Yeah, I mean, it is called the Mysterious Island. You should have expected some mysterious thing that's right in the title.
Sean, I know what the book says.
Yeah, if you ever want to see Michael Caine riding a giant bee, this is the. It's like, what the hell, man?
He does ride a bee.
And by the way, I was pissed going into this movie because I show up for the screening. Bean, this is exactly what you're talking about. I show up for the screening. They hand me these 3D glasses. And they're not sort of the big, light ones. They're those heavy things that seem like underwater goggles or something.
Oh, they squeeze the blood right out of my head.
Right, and I have to put them over my other glasses. Right?
So, what a dork.
So my head weighs about 50 pounds, and I'm pissed. And then the movie starts, and the dialogue is horrible, and it's a miserable experience. So I think, like, 7- and 10-year-old boys will like the adventure.
Okay.
Everybody else probably going to pass. Now, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that for all of you 45-year-old men still living in mom's basement, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, in theaters in 3D.
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Now, people who get confused by the way the Star Wars movies are numbered, they're going to re-release all of them in 3D, but this is the first one of the series, but it was the fourth one that came out. This was when they went back to the Star Wars franchise after the three good ones, right?
And, Bean, why do you do that? Because this was maybe the most universally disliked of the Star Wars. You got the Jar Jar Binks, you got the little boy. So if it sucked in 2D, doesn't it still suck in 3D?
You'd think they'd start with 4, 5, and 6 like they did originally.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Here's a clip.
There's no
reason to go see this again, right?
not that I can think of.
There's that.
Didn't you feel the 3D just happening to you right there?
I don't want to watch it.
This is just a cash grab. That's all it is for geeks, right?
That's it. And again, I still do not get why he would start with this movie, because I don't think a ton of people are going to go. I may be wrong, but we will certainly find out.
Mr. Movie Phone, always a pleasure to have you on. Of course, moviephone.com and the 6-second reviews. If you're really crunched for time, that's how you can find out in just 6 seconds what you should be going to see or not. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
To hockey, I don't think about it at all. I try not to think about the scouts or anything. I just really want to work my hardest and play my heart out and just play my game and hopefully help my team win.
Drew Doughty, but he has pressure on him in a pressure game, pressure situation. He becomes a better player.
Very good. Whoa, what a check by Doughty at the blue line on Taylor Hall.
Drew Doughty, here he comes. Doughty in front. He
up the middle, shot, score! Right down the middle. The Kings got it to Doughty.
We're pleased to welcome Olympic gold medalist Drew Doughty to the program.
All right, so that happened once last night. That's a start.
Drew Doughty joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Los Angeles Kings. Hey, Drew, how are you, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. How are you?
Very good, thank you. So, lost last night 3-1. You scored, as we heard just... As we heard just a second ago, do you go back to the locker room and go, hey, anyone else? Come on, guys.
No, don't do that. But, no, it's definitely a part we've been struggling with. We haven't been scoring a lot of goals. So we need to figure it out here soon because the playoff race is tight right now.
Let me ask you about that, because the team changed greatly over the summer and over the between seasons. And it used to be that the Kings are pretty good, and the fans all knew that the Kings are pretty good, and we hope to make it to the playoffs. This year, everything has changed a little bit. The team is better. If the team doesn't make the, there's a lot more pressure. How do you deal with that?
I think for the most part, a lot of us have dealt with the pressure before many times throughout our careers, so we just have to all thrive under that pressure, and use it to the best of our abilities. We all won games before and made it to the playoffs, and we know that there's no way we're not going to make the playoffs this year, so we have lots of time to turn it around here. We just got to make sure that we try and get every single point we can, just because they're so important right now.
What is it like being in that position where you're in, what is it now, seventh?
Yeah, we're in seventh.
What is it like to be in the middle of the season on a road trip and have a coach let go and another coach come in? That must be very disconcerting.
You know, it was hard having the coaching change at first, but now that Coach Sutter's in here, we're loving him. He's a great coach. He has a different philosophy than our previous one, and you know, on this road trip, we just got to make sure we play the road mentality game. We just got to keep things simple, you know, just do the right things. And when we get back home, we'll carry the momentum from the road trip on and play in front of our home fans.
Do you hate the Grammys? Because Grammy week, you know, the Lakers have to play somewhere else, and the Clippers have to play somewhere else, and the Kings have to play a long extended road trip because the Staples Center is being used for Grammy. Is it a difficult, long week and a half?
Yeah, it is. It's just not fun being on the road for so long. You know, it kind of just seems like you're just switching from hotel to hotel and just kind of hanging out in your room. It's not a fun thing, but it's something we have to deal with every year. So we're kind of getting used to it, and we use our time off throughout the road trip to kind of hang out with the guys, since when we're at home, the guys are with their families and whatnot, so they can't really hang out outside of the rink.
So last night you're down 2-1. You have to pull the goalie. Does that... That has to put a little bit of fear in all of you, doesn't it? I always think the rest of the team must be super nervous. There's a minute left. We're down a goal. We pull our goalie. That means there's nothing to stop the puck from going in. You're a defender. Does that put a lot of extra pressure on you, a little extra? What does that feel like?
Yeah, definitely, especially last night. I was the last one back there and had a little two-on-one on me with no goalie in the net, so it was a tough play, and they ended up scoring. But, you know, it's a situation where every single team in the last minute is going to pull their goalie. So, you know, we're prepared for it. We know what our play was if we had the puck, but unfortunately they got it and threw it in the net. So, you know, it's tough taking those losses and letting them get that empty net goal, but it's part of the game.
I got to ask you about an older game. I think it was was it Winnipeg that you got booed every time you touched the puck?
Was it
Winnipeg?
Yeah, it was Winnipeg. To be honest, I had no idea why they were booing me.
Really?
As the game was going on, but then I kind of found out after the game that I guess the Winnipeg fans kind of boo one of the players from every single team that comes in their way. So,
you didn't even know why it was happening. And this is what I like about hockey fans. Every single time you touch the puck, they didn't miss once.
No, they didn't miss it once. You know, at the same time, it didn't make me mad at all. I kind of liked it. I thought it was funny, and I guess I'm getting noticed out there, so that's a good thing.
I loved it. I loved it so much.
I hope you don't take, I'm sure you don't take hockey fans for granted. They are the most vocal and into the game, I think, of any sport. Look, there are passionate basketball fans and crazy baseball fans, but there's something about the way a hockey crowd reacts in unison to everything on the ice that makes you feel like they're right there with you. And that, I can't imagine that doesn't feed into a great deal of energy for you guys on the ice.
Oh, it brings you so much energy, especially playing at home. You know, you get a big hit or someone gets in a big fight and the fans are all on their feet just cheering for you. You carry that momentum right through. There's nothing better than, you know, getting an overtime goal or an overtime win or whatever it is, and fans are just going nuts for you. So you definitely feed off that energy.
Well, you have Saturday and Sunday still back-to-back games, one against the Islanders, one against the Stars. Back-to-back games in hockey. What a horrible idea. It seems like if any sport, you need at least a day off. But you guys have a lot of back-to-backs. Is that really difficult?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. The first game is usually you kind of go into it knowing that you got a game the next day. Not that you save your energy or anything like that, but...
There has to be a time when somebody's about to take a shot and you think, I could get down on the ice and block this, but it's going to hurt like a mother effer, so I'm just not going to do it because I have a game tomorrow. Does that ever happen?
No, that doesn't happen. You can block the shot, you're going down and block the shot regardless of the circumstances for the next day. It's just part of the game. And
that's the difference between you and me.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest difference. But no, that's part of the game. And it's tough playing back-to-backs, but it's nice to get two games out of the way right away, too.
Yeah. This is the voice of Drew Doughty from the Los Angeles Kings here on the Kevin and Bean Show. As Kevin mentioned, the next game is tomorrow afternoon against the Islanders, which is weird, by the way. If I read the schedule correctly, Kevin, you're going to be watching that game at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, West Coast time, which is very, very strange. Hey, Drew, I know that you had some real shoulder issues earlier in the season, and it seems like they are behind you now. Is there ever a time that you go out and you are completely healthy where nothing hurts?
Not very often. It's rare that you ever play a hockey game being healthy, except for the first maybe couple games of the season. You know, you're taking a lot of hits, blocking a lot of shots, and there's so many different things can happen throughout the game that you can injure. And it seems like every single guy on the team has a nice bag on them after every game. So yeah, it's a tough sport, but we're tough guys, and we play because we love it. So
it's got to get worse, too, by the time the playoffs roll around. You know, everybody's nursing four or five injuries.
Oh, yeah. Hockey playoffs is just so different from the regular season. It's a way tougher game. Everyone's finishing their checks. Everyone's blocking shots. So, yeah, it's more like four or five ice bags in playoff time.
All right, here's my last question for you, Drew, and then we'll wrap it up here in a minute. Do you ever hear from people who have you on their fantasy hockey teams? Like, when you're on a hot streak right now where you're taking a lot of shots, you're very popular with the fantasy hockey people. And if you hear from them, what do you tell them? Because they're big, fat losers, right?
For the most part, when I'm doing well, I don't hear from them. But when I'm not doing well, they make sure to let me know, especially, you know, if you're out at a restaurant or whatever you're at.
They come up to you at a restaurant?
Oh, yeah, they'll come up to you at any point. No one's afraid to approach you and tell you that you're screwing their fantasy team.
I just love that. They're not even rooting for your team. They just have their own stupid little team that they're mad at you about.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow. Well, Drew, you're the best. Thanks for coming on the air with us today. Best of luck in the run-up to the playoffs and to get the Stanley Cup this year.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
A big fan. Thanks for coming
on. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
We have a real treat for you coming up after the 9 o'clock hour rings here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, because Beer Mug and the K-Rock microphones were down at the Grammy Roundtable event yesterday, where they parade the stars in front of you, stars in quotes, and then you get to interview them. And Beer Mug had some sit-down interviews with some great people, and you're not going to want to miss it. I promise it. Some of the best work he's ever done. Am I right, Kevin?
Here's the thing that we found out about Beer Mug. It doesn't matter who's in front of him. That's not what's interesting. What's interesting is how Beer Mug's mind works.
Exactly. So that's coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're very happy to welcome our friend Annelle Rivers to the studio from the Nothing But Show podcast, which you should be subscribing to. New episodes up every Saturday. You can get them through iTunes or the Nothing But Show website. Very funny show. Longtime Kevin and Bean fan, and he is in filling in for Ralph Garman this hour on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Annelle?
Oh, man, you know me. Same ass, different day, man. That's how I get down.
Oh, you don't like that. I'm sorry. You don't like that one. You like this one.
Girl, holla. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I'm not very big on the paparazzi.
I hear you.
Before I get started here, man, I just want to let you guys know, if you're not doing anything this weekend, perhaps Saturday night, come on out to the Sly Bar in Fullerton. Make sure you check out my girl Chip and her band Fiction Reform. They are quite awesome, and they got boobs.
two of them do. There's only two girls in the band, but that's enough to look at, right?
No, one of the guys is pretty heavy set. So.
Yeah, that's true. All right, three. I'll give you three.
I mean, that's Jackson Boots. So first up, man, I got a little story here. Y'all remember my boy Chris Brown, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Of course.
Well, apparently, Chris Brown decides that he's been a good boy long enough.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, and he requested that a judge lift his 5-year probation. Well, the judge did not agree with him.
And how long has it been? Do you
it's
know?
You know, it's been about, what, 2 years, I guess? 2 years, 3 years, something like that? It's been a while. I mean, you know, they clearly Rihanna's scars have healed or whatnot, and she seems to move on with her life. And I actually went to a club a couple weeks ago, and they were both there. Like, not together, but in the building together, you know?
Hey, they're going to be in the same place Sunday night. They're both appearing and performing on the Grammys, so it's going to be interesting to see how close they get to one another.
Not to be a downer, but just, I work with abused women and children for charity, and it's not just physical.
No.
It's emotional. It can last a lifetime.
I got beat up by a girl in high school, and I'm still. Shout out to Alicia.
That was the right thing for Alicia to do.
Alicia beat the brakes off of me. I'm still reeling from that, man. So, yeah, Chris Brown, you're still on probation, and stop beating on women.
Girl, holla!
Next up, now, if you remember that earlier in the show, I gave you a little rundown of Obama's Spotify list that he released here. And, you know, after the general consensus of the list is that list is BS.
There's no way he has that list of music from Spotify. They put it together with a blue ribbon panel.
I will recap for you real quick to kind of give you just the bands that, you know, for example, on Obama's alleged Spotify list, he has bands like No Doubt, Arcade Fire, Florence and the Machine, Wilco, U2, so forth and so on. I went into a little bit of a research mode here, and I actually dug deeper into the list, and I found the real bands that Obama's listening to.
All right.
Okay. Obama's listening, in my opinion, okay, this is just, you know, my humble opinion, he's listening to bands like The Impressions, you've got Earth, Wind, and Fire Experience, which, by the way, is different than Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, it's not the same?
I mean, they're the same band, but there's, like, I think it's like the drummer's different or something.
I see.
Right. You got Booker T and the MGs, uh-huh. Raphael Sadiq, Aretha Franklin, and, of course, my personal favorite, the Electric Light Orchestra. That's right.
You think he's listening to ELO?
Obama's listening to ELO,
yeah,
man.
I'm sure that's true as well.
You don't think those are all on his list, right? Those are all part of the same Spotify playlist, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
What? They are?
Yeah, they're on the same list.
I thought you were making those up.
Nah, man. I'm serious.
Wow.
That's why Kevin and I are both saying that this was put together by his people who are trying to appeal to the widest possible swath of Americans who they're trying to get to vote for him. Hey, let's throw a couple of country music songs on there. Let's throw some classic soul. Let's throw some alternative rock.
Somebody said Wilco, and he said, who's that? And they said, don't worry about it.
I doubt very seriously the president had anything to do with this list.
I got one question. Where's the goat whore?
That's all of our questions.
Where is the goat whore? I mean, it's not a Spotify playlist without a little bit of goat whore.
I can see the president banging his head to this.
I can definitely see Obama riding around in the tank that he drives in around, the armored car. Yeah, banging goat whore running down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Holla!
Next up, I got a little story here. It is the second most wonderful time of the year, folks.
Second most wonderful.
Well, of course, the first is Christmas.
Sure.
By far. And the second most wonderful time of the year is February, because that's when they announce who will be on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
Yes.
So get around, kiddies. Let Uncle Neil tell you a story here about it. Long, long ago, there used to be this thing called magazines.
Yep.
Okay? Before you could just click on images and watch porn at the convenience of your own phone, we had these things called magazines, and they had pictures of half-naked women in them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not important. What is important is that this year, Kate Upton.
Yeah!
Now, is that confirmed, or is that just your speculation that she'll get the cover?
You know, I have an inside source on this that I can't really speak to as of right now, but it's a pretty solid source. Okay.
Oh, I want that to be true so much. She is the best model working today.
And she's 19.
That's unbelievable.
You look at her, that is not possible.
Dude, 19 is the best age. You know what I mean? It's like
she's 19, it is.
Yeah, old enough to party, but still, you know, still young enough to kind of get in a little bit of trouble. But you got to be careful with 19-year-olds, okay? Because they're a gateway drug to 18-year-olds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Well, yeah, but the problem with 18-year-olds is their dads will usually fight you because they're still in their 30s.
And a gateway to 17.
So
you know this from experience,
this from a lot of experience, man. But the good news, I like this Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition because it's not so much like a magazine, it's like a catalog. Because I'm shopping for all the girls that eventually will be naked on my computer screen.
That's correct.
You all will be.
Holla!
Next up, I got a little story here about you guys remember when South Park did the Muhammad?
Oh, yeah.
The Muhammad episode where they couldn't show him or whatnot. Well, a New York man just pled guilty to posting online threats against Matt and Trey, the creators of South Park there. Apparently, he was not happy about the episode. And he just, you know, got around to posting threats, 3 years later? I don't know if he just maybe found out about the episode or maybe just got wind of it. But, yeah, he apparently went to court here in New York City and he put a whole bunch of bad stuff online. You know, say he's going to cut Matt's head off and Trey's head off and whatnot. And my thing is like this. You know, Muslims get a bad enough break as it is. The last thing y'all need to really be doing is putting online posts about what you're going to do to people.
Yeah, but that's not Muslims. That's the tiny, tiny group of a-holes that ruins it for everyone.
Right, it's just like when Suge Knight gets arrested for weed. Everybody thinks every black man smokes weed, and even though every black man does smoke weed, they don't have to. you don't have to think that.
It might be true, but don't think about it that way.
Right on.
Holla!
Next up, we got some celebrity birthdays. Okay, we got Robert Wagner. Y'all remember him from Austin Powers?
Number two.
Mm-hmm. And we got, of course, our radio and TV host Glenn Beck. He's 48. Actress Laura Dern is 45. Elizabeth Banks from Scrubs is 38. And my personal favorite here, Roberta Flack. Y'all remember Roberta Flack?
Sure.
Yeah.
Strumming my pain with his finger.
I'd rather you didn't sing it, but.
Singing my life.
You sure know the K-Rock audience, I'll tell you that.
I'd rather you didn't.
Girl! Sorry, I just whenever I hear Roberta Flack, man, I just got to go into that. So I'm sorry about that, man.
You go into slow jam mode.
I hear you.
It's a black thing. You wouldn't understand. Anyway, so yeah, I just want to send a shout out to Roberta Flack. And of course, last but not least on the list, we have Emma Roberts. She's 21, and Chloe Moretz, little Chloe Moretz, is 15. Where's the bike bell at, Bean? You got the little. There you go. A couple more years for that. Anyway, y'all have yourselves a wonderful weekend. I'm out of here. This has been the Nell Rivers with the K-Rock Show Biz Busy.
First, we sent our interviewer beer mug out to the Grammy Roundtable. Now, the Grammy Roundtable is what it sounds like. They just put a bunch of radio stations around these tables, and people can walk from table to table and be in 15 cities the same day. They all do interviews. They all sit down. So they sit down in front of Beer Mug, and he does interviews. Now, Beer Mug is not a great interviewer yet.
What? He's the best interviewer. Are you kidding me?
Beer Mug is the best interviewer that has ever lived.
Thank you, Kevin.
Earlier this morning, we played you a clip, and just to catch people up who weren't listening earlier this morning, he was interviewing Kool and the Gang. Now, Kool and the Gang, very popular in the 70s, in the 80s, in a lot of the 90s.
Yeah.
Probably still on the road.
Yeah, and they're still very popular. I mean, you can't go to a wedding without hearing a Kool and the Gang song. You can't turn on your TV for more than an hour without seeing one of their songs pop up on commercial. I mean, they've got Celebration and Ladies Night and Get Down on It and Jungle Book. I mean, they just got a ton of hits.
So why does Beer Mug sit down with Kool and the Gang and sing them one of their own songs, which it turns out isn't one of their songs?
It goes a little something like this. Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
No.
Nope. Why does he do that?
Wow.
Why does he do Casey and the Sunshine Band for Kool and the Gang?
Now, Muggs, I'm not blaming you. I ain't mad at you for not knowing that, because that song was popular before you were born. Look, I don't expect you to know all those songs, but I'm just thinking about what it must be like for those guys. That's their livelihood. That's their career. And you're singing somebody else's song to them. What was the look on their face?
They've been a band for 40 years.
Humiliation was the look on their face.
Oh, that's so sad.
The fact that you could humiliate them.
Yeah.
So, by the way, and I didn't play this earlier, Bean, he continues with Kool and the Gang. He's not about to let them off the hook. He continues with this probing question.
Now, what songs do you do?
So now, is his name Robert? Robert Kool?
Ronnie.
Ronnie and Kool. Kool, okay.
And Ronnie and Kool.
Whatever. Yeah. Kool sits there and lists all of their hits. Celebration, like is it Ladies Night? Beer Mug finally sings one back to him of their own. I don't know why. Now, Beer Mug has decided it's time to talk about himself.
I, myself, am a drummer, so, and I've been lucky to,
Where do you think he's going with this, Bean? Talking to Kool and the Gang still.
I can't imagine, unless he's got a question about their, he wouldn't have a question about their drum style, because he doesn't know any of their songs, so I have no idea what he's trying to do here.
I've been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
All right, where do you think he's going now?
I don't know, but this is more information than Kool and the Gang needs about Beer Mug. I'll tell you.
Man, he loves all sorts of stuff. But that aside.
All right. Now, what question is he going to ask?
All right. Let's play our new game. What the hell is Beer Mug thinking?
Because he talks about himself as a drummer. He talks about his dad and his influence and how many different music styles he's been opened up to.
And then does he say that aside?
Yes.
Then we're putting all of that aside, so forget everything I just bored you with. Now I'm going to ask my question. Lisa, what could he be asking?
Which is not, let me just give you a clue, not at all related to drumming or Beer Mug, his dad, or his dad's musical style.
Well, what the hell was that set up about then?
I'm not sure I know myself. Who are you guys excited to see at the 54th Grammy Awards?
How do you go from that to that? Why do you start by saying, I'm a drummer? My dad exposed me to jazz. Who are you looking forward to see? I mean, maybe you were thinking there's going to be a lot of different styles of music there?
Like we said, Kevin, like we found out earlier from my earlier interviews, my mind is going at the same time I'm speaking.
Right.
To buy time, to pad time.
So you're just, when you're talking about your dad, you have no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
All right. So Kool and the Gang are still in front of Muggs. He's turning the screws to him now. He's really going to embarrass him. He hasn't embarrassed him enough yet. So now he's going to ask him what the participation is in the show, which is nothing. Listen to this.
Are you guys presenting?
No.
Poor are mugs, though. He is, in his defense, he is just throwing anything out there hoping something will stick.
Right. Right. But when nothing sticks, a lot of times what people will do will go, thanks for stopping by. It was really great to meet you.
I felt that I had to use my entire time length with them because, you know, you're given like 2 or 3 minutes.
How much time did you have? 2 or 3 minutes? Yeah. You were 8 minutes into it by now. And then, like, that's not enough. Like, all that's gone before is not enough. Beer Mug starts thinking out loud.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Oh, mugs. Way to say to the guys, hey, thanks for sitting down. I'm just going to waste more of your time now.
You're going to sit here while I think about anything else to say to you.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Oh, that's
sad. Oh, my God.
That's next to what songs do you do? That's the worst question I've ever heard.
Is he done with Cool of the Gang?
He's got to be.
Nope.
Hollywood Swingin', was that sampled recently by...
he doesn't know. And then he mumbles and mumbles.
How did they not
and,
just walk away?
I don't know. You know, you really have to look at those guys and go, how incredibly cool are they?
Very gracious. Absolutely.
To sit across from Beer Mug, who sings him the wrong song, asks him if they're presenting. They're not. Talks about his dad. Has no relevance. Talks about he's a drummer. No relevance. Talks about thinking of something to talk about. And then they sample the Hollywood Swingin', and how does that work?
I could never have imagined when I woke up today that I would feel sorry for Cool in the Gang.
Why did Cool in the Gang not punch Beer Mug?
It's a great question. I would have.
No, we have more, but we don't have time. We'll have to get to him. Wait till you hear Muggs talk about himself while he's talking to last year's best new artist, Esmeralda Spalding.
Right. Esperanza.
Esperanza.
Which, by the way, I did
You made
call
the same
her,
mistake,
I,
yes.
I made the same mistake.
But Beer Mug talks about himself for like 3 minutes before he talks to her. But we don't have time for that now.
Well done, Beer Mug. We'll get to it.
Job.
Kevin, I mean, listener, Lance makes a good point talking about the Doomsday Preppers. We were just listening to what the sad fate of Survival Kitty was going to be when the S hits the fan. Which is
a double tap to the back of the head.
Right to the head. Lance writes in, I feel like maybe Survival Kitty has been poorly named. And I think that's an excellent point. Poor Survival Kitty. Poor Survival Kitty who's in the room during the interview and has to be thinking to herself, why am I not a dog? Hey, you're saying the dogs are useful.
That's why cats suck.
How
By the way,
dare you?
Cats
How
suck dare because you? They're worthless. You know what they do? They sit on the chair you want to sit on, and they look at you like you're in their house. F you, cat.
All I know is I've got my TiVo set up for Doomsday Preppers forever. I can't wait for Tuesday. All right, let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat this hour. As you know, Ralph Garvin's taking a little bit of time off. We are taking turns filling in this hour. Got a new story from the Jersey Shore. I don't know if you guys have been aware of this or not, but there has been some talk on and off the show that Mike the Situation Sorrentino is, in fact, gay.
That's what my wife says.
What? Yeah.
That's what my wife's been saying the entire time.
Really?
From the very beginning, she said, that guy's gay.
But isn't he always talking about all the chicks
he's
nailing?
That doesn't mean he's not gay.
Well, you're right. He has hit back at Snooki and JWoww. They have been speculating about his sexuality. They hinted that he might be gay in a recent interview with the Huffington Post. Mike really ripped Snooki and JWoww a new one, says a show insider, noting that Sorrentino is concerned that such comments could hurt his brand endorsements, which are focused on straight male customers. He is extremely upset. In the interview, by the way, JWoww and Snooki implied that despite his Playboy reputation, the Situation has questioned his own sexuality. He's the one who brings it up, says JWoww. He'll say, people think I'm gay and I don't know what they're talking about. And then Snooki added, he told me one time, all the talk is making me wonder. JWoww compared the Situation to her gay best friend's husband who was closeted for 27 years. Because of that, she says, I know all the signs.
Yeah.
So the Situation is getting out there. He's not saying there's anything wrong with being gay. He's just saying he's not. And I guess he feels like his audience, you know, perhaps might be ladies or might be straight guys. So he wants the word out there. So GTL, he says, still stands for the G, still stands for Jim in Jim Tan Laundry.
Ah, good set of guys. On the Grammys Sunday night, there's going to be the debut of a $5,000 gold nail polish.
What?
You know how they always make a big deal out of the clothing, which I just so don't care about and don't start watching until the actual ceremony begins? For 5 hours beforehand, they're talking about the dresses and everything. This is a $5,000 golden nail polish. It's being made it's being made by a company called Red Carpet Manicure. And it's called Armor 24. And Stylist.com says the reason for the sky-high price tag is that there's actual 24-karat gold flakes in the actual...
How much could there be?
Nail polish. I don't know.
Well, that's a good use of gold. That's not a waste of a precious metal.
So now we can add, who are you wearing on your fingernails to the question, who are you wearing the dress?
Excellent.
So, good times.
I don't know what that,
good
that
times.
Doesn't
turn. The FBI
recession. The FBI has released their file on Steve Jobs yesterday. I'm not sure if somehow this was made available due to the Freedom of Information Act or what, but somebody petitioned for it. It's a 191-page document. Apparently, there was a background check done more than 20 years ago when Steve Jobs was being considered for an appointment in the Bush administration. This is the first President Bush working for something called the Export Council. They did not have a lot of great things to say about Mr. Jobs, although they did say that he was a visionary and he was a genius, and they did not think that he was a genius, and they did not think that he was a communist. Here's some of the bad things in the who will twist the truth in order to achieve his goals. Is a deceptive individual and only has integrity if he gets his way. Also, that his moral character is questionable. By the way, so far, doesn't he sound like a perfect government employee?
He had a hell of a publicist.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Apparently, and I'd love to know more about this, according to the FBI file, Steve Jobs, who of course is Mr. Apple, apparently did lots of drugs. Lots of drugs.
Wow.
It emphasizes. Whatever he was taking seemed like it helped. Seemed like it worked. Seemed like it was made him the most creative person on earth. I mean, I suspect that in business we're going to be living a long time trying to catch up with what Steve Jobs had going on upstairs. But obviously he did not end up going to work for the Bush administration. He did fine on his own. But it is weird. I wonder why this is coming out now. This is kind of strange. It seems like the type of thing that, you know, might have been nice to keep under lock and key.
Yeah, I don't know why they would release it for any reason. Mm-hmm. Do they have to at some point?
Or maybe somebody put in that request
Freedom
for information.
Of Information Act or whatever, but...
Possible.
Who knows? Russell Brand and Katy Perry both in the news in separate ways. Russell Brand is talking about now that he is free of his marriage and can take his money and do whatever he wants with it, he's going to invest in a club, a soccer club called West Ham United in England. And I happen to know a little something about this club. It blows.
Oh, really?
Terrible
this
soccer
is, this
team.
This is a fixer-upper?
Oh, my God, yes. They have an A-League and a B-League. It would be like if the professional football, if the bottom four teams every year went down to a junior NFL. And then the top four teams.
This is like minor league.
Yes, it's minor league baseball. This is minor league soccer in England, and West Ham sucks, and Russell Brand is about to put a bunch of money into
it. Oh, my God. He's gonna go back to...
Yes,
Katy Perry and go, you
How
know
about
what?
That $20 million?
I'm going to need some of that cash.
Some of that. And
soccer? Do you guys need some extra tampons, too?
Come on now. It's part of the news. I'm getting to Katy Perry, who Simon Cowell says, and it sounds like he's just throwing it out there. It doesn't sound like there have been any serious negotiations, but Simon Cowell says he would like to have Katy Perry as a judge on X Factor because she's, quote, hard and, quote, spicy.
Everyone would like to have her as a judge on everything.
He said that on Extra. Now, I don't know if that means, you know, talks are underway, if it's just Simon Cowell mouthing off.
Yeah.
Who knows? But if she becomes a judge on that show, it will be the first singing show I watch religiously.
No, I think that's an excellent choice. I think get her on. Absolutely do that. Hey, before we go and say goodbye for the week, we got two more pair of passes for you for Wonderlust. This is the K-Rock Advanced Screening happening next Thursday, February the 23rd. The movie is in theaters everywhere on Friday, February 24th, so you do get to see it early. Jennifer Aniston is in this film along with the beautiful Malin Ackerman and the hilarious Paul Rudd. The movie looks very funny. It looks like it may involve some nudity, too. And it is, again, called Wonderlust. If you want to go, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 and 11. You win this hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Emma Roberts is 21 years old today in the famous acting Roberts family. Of course, her dad is Eric Roberts from Sharktopus. Her mom is Julia Roberts, who was in something. I just don't remember what it was called. You don't see much of her.
No.
Actress Laura Dern, who has won now 3 Golden Globes for her TV work and is at one time was known as a movie actress, turns 45 years old today. George Stephanopoulos, who was with the Bill Clinton administration, now the host of ABC's Good Morning America and This Week, turns 51 today. Robert Wagner from the Austin Powers movies is 82. Right-wing nutjob Glenn Beck is 48, a guy who used to follow me on the radio when I worked at WPGC in Washington, D.C. He was 19 years old and smoked very funny-smelling clove cigarettes and used to come in every night after me on the air, Glenn Beck.
Awesome.
Little did I realize that one day he would be a billionaire and I would be talking about him because he's a celebrity.
And one of the most hated men in America at the same time.
Beautiful actress Elizabeth Banks, who's in The Hunger Games, coming out here this spring. And, of course, as a regular, was on Scrubs, now on 30 Rock. She turns 38 years old today. And the kick-ass girl herself, who's growing up to be a great little actress, Chloe Moretz, turns 15 today. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Monday morning, we got an all-new show. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We've got full coverage of the Grammys. Randall Roberts from the LA Times is going to talk to us about that. And we're sending Beer Mug back today.
Yeah!
Oh, I can't wait. To get some more interviews with some of the celebrities that are going to be at the Grammys this weekend. And we'll play that tape for you on Monday morning show.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yo, ready?
I was born ready.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So this is your first time dabbling in food?
Good question.
Roll another one.
Hey, Beer Mug, that's not
just
funny.
Like this one seems to be about to quit. I need another hit.
What you gotta say now, bitch? What you gotta say now? You ain't got shit to say, motherfucker. What you gotta say? What you gotta say, bitch? What you gotta say? What you gotta say, bitch?
Good question.
Is all about.
This one seems to be about to end.
Frankly, gives me the willies.
I don't have another cent.
Hey, what's the group that was from Scranton that made it big? Is that you two?
Yes.
I don't want to guard that joint.
Where's the outrage there?
Just pass it around.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
I just pooped.
I just pass it.
A lot of people wonder what happens after the show, and I'll tell you. Well, the clothes come off, and it's a big sweaty pile. We turn the cameras to the wall, and we love.
Well, I have a secret for you guys. Get out.
If I just went away right now, would that be the best gift that I could give you?
Yes, please. Please go away, and stop using that weird slow voice.
Okay, so you're free to go.